Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have one of the most prominent members of the Native American Indian movement, Russell Means, joining us in T-minus 20 minutes to chime in on the parallels between what happened to Native Americans and what's happening in Gaza. I saw a clip of him earlier this week on YouTube, which was very accurate because I, too, have read the official Nazi histories. Hitler gave speeches about it, wrote about it. He got his policies for death camps and rounding up populations, non-Aryan groups in Russia and all over Europe, from the American Indian program here in the United States. And, of course, that adopted a lot from those that invented it, the British, the concentration camp. It was Andrew Jackson who turned around and did some of the same stuff to Native Americans who lost his mother and brother through a British concentration camp. So Russell Means is joining us, then Bob Chapman for his once-a-week visit on the economy. And, boy, is that timely today. And then for 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen, we have Alan Watt joining us. Folks really love it. We have Alan Watt on. We appreciate him coming on the show. And we'll go over a host of issues with Alan Watt today. On this Friday, the ninth day of January 2009 edition. By the way, the Alex Jones Tyranny Crusher 1 bullhorn auctioned on eBay only a couple days into a 7-day bid is over $50,000 right now. Now, somebody put in one for $5 million and then bragged that it was fake. We just Googled their handle and found out that it was part of a government group, government-affiliated group, laughing openly, saying they wanted to screw it up, but we just canceled their bid, and it's a legitimate cancellation because we have their own handle, their own admission, where they're admitting that they are, and even posting their bidding details on the web, posting the evidence of their felony. We went and looked it up. Memory told me it was a felony, above $10,000 federal. In Texas, it's above $6,000 for a state felony, but I don't know what state this individual's in. You can always subpoena those, but it looks like we'll be able to handle those problems. We've talked to eBay now, and they did say that if these people did succeed, that there would be criminal charges. They're not going to be successful in their criminal activities. They're admitted criminal activities, but they're doing important work, of course, for CENTCOM, so it's okay. It's all right. And if you didn't know that you've got some CENTCOM and FBI guys in there with you, I know some of you are just fellow traveler, lobotomy-type folks, fluoride heads. Your mothers didn't breastfeed you, and then you drank fluoride, so your brain's tiny and got rot holes in it. Oh, you didn't know that? Of course, you'll just laugh. You'll go, well, my mom didn't breastfeed me. That's true. But you won't Google and read the BBC and Associated Press about your brain being 15 to 30% smaller, depending on the study, if you weren't breastfed. You'll just laugh and say that's not true. But I guarantee you, mama puts you in a crib in dirty diapers and didn't take care of you. And that's your problem. And I'm sorry they savaged your mind so that you couldn't connect your intellect with your soul. All right, I'm already digressing here. Now, you can escape with some of the fluoride and still have an intellect, but if mama doesn't give you that milk, and I'm not bashing women here that believe the system and gave their babies formula, I'm saying this so women will think about their children in the future and give them what those mammary glands, those beautiful mammary glands, were designed for. The guys in the control room got a kick out of that little comment. Yeah! Fired up! This transmission has just lifted off. Huge news blitz straight ahead. Right here on the one, the only, InfoWars.com Radio Network. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It really is a Central Texas Command Center now. I'm going to visit family for a few days next week. So Jason Burmis is going to be sitting in some. He's down here in the Central Texas Command Center, and he's saying, man, you've got to give people a tour of this place and show them what you did with the support people gave you. And, you know, really, we've just been so busy, with all the other projects we're doing in this Barack Obama film. We were up here till about 11 last night, and we went and got a hamburger afterwards with Rob's cousin, who's down here visiting from New York. That was fun. But I digress. Maybe since it's quick and easy, and then later we'll do a video tour, just take some photos around the new Central Texas Command Center, kind of a photo tour. And then at some point, I need to walk around with a camera in here and videotape the place and put it out for the viewers out there at prisonplanet.tv so they can check out the command center. But we're in the next phase, trying to expand our operations, and so we're so busy that it's hard to get around to that, but we will do it. That is a guarantee if the creek don't rise, as they say. Yeah, I usually get up about 6:37 in the morning. I slept till about 9 o'clock this morning because I didn't get home till about 1. And I'm here with this huge stack of news in front of me, and I'm actually in a relaxed mood, which is rare. I mean, I'm normally relaxed when I'm not on air. But for some reason, I've gotten the habit over the years. I guess when I first got on radio, it was so exciting that I was just exploding with information that I would get into this overdriven mode, and then that became the precedent. But right now, I'm feeling like my normal self, and I don't even know where to start because I have all the serious news, and I almost hate to plow through it all and bum my happy vibe, as they say. But we won't have a free society. We won't have any future if we let the criminals come in and eat us out of house and home in our societies. That's the whole point about corruption. It must be stopped. It must be resisted. Really serious news on the financial front. This is UBS closing U.S. clients' offshore accounts. New York Times reports, and this is a Reuters story itself, under pressure from the U.S. tax authority, Swiss wealth management giant UBS is closing all the offshore accounts of its rich U.S. clients, the New York Times said Friday. Now, what's happened is the really big money's moved offshore. The get out of the United States date, I've been told and read about, was about 2 years ago. And they've moved their money to Mumbai. They've moved their money to Dubai. They've moved their money to Luxembourg. They've moved their money to the Bahamas. They've moved their money to Portugal. They've moved their money. And then you have the OECD, the Organization of Economic Cooperative Development, that was the name of the official name of the Marshall Plan in Europe. And now it's this international management consortium that really sets a lot of the policies for the private IMF, World Bank, International Bank of Settlements, and others. And they're the ones that have been pushing for decades to, quote, get rid of tax havens. But they only get rid of select, quote, tax avoidance havens. And they only go after the smaller fish, people with $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $100 million, even $1 billion, if they're not in the inner circle of elitists. So this is all about selective enforcement. The big trillionaires of the world, the super class, the handful of families that control trillions, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, they use governmental taxing authorities to come in and suck the middle class and the nouveau riche and the upstart super rich dry through taxation. You see these reports all the time where Goldman Sachs paid less than 1% taxes. That was in the New York Times in the United States because they're offshore and they've written all the federal and international laws where it's allowed, it's kosher for them to do that, but nobody else except for that small super class. And so that's all this is nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, unless you're a select group allowed to go into the bank accounts in other areas of the world. So this is a robbing of the middle class, a robbing of the nouveau riche and some upstart super rich. The looting. UBS, which the U.S. authorities say helped wealthy Americans hide cash in offshore bank accounts, will shut down 19,000 offshore accounts, the paper said, quoting unnamed U.S. clients. A UBS spokesman in Switzerland was not immediately available to comment on the report. The Swiss bank, one of the hardest hit in the credit crisis, decided in July last year to stop offering offshore accounts to U.S. citizens as it was targeted by a U.S. tax investigation which challenges Switzerland's famous banking secrecy laws. Really what happened is the Swiss joined the European Union a few years ago, and they have agreed to phase out their own currency and their gold-backed system, so it's over for them. They're being absorbed by the Borg. As part of the investigation, U.S. authorities indicted UBS's wealth management chief last year. UBS is progressing with its closing. In an ordinary fashion, UBS spokesman Karina Byrne was quoted as saying in the U.S. paper. And it says it helped U.S. clients hide $18 billion of untaxed American money. I mean, there are globalists that are making $18 billion a day, folks. See, but they love these illusions and these giant hoaxes that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. Bill Gates' father, who headed up Planned Parenthood, is still on their board and was tied in with IBM eugenics operations. IBM is a trust. When the old man died in the, was it late 40s? Set up a trust that IBM be used to carry out a setting up a world state to carry out eugenics, and that's on record. And to get around trust laws, and those are still being somewhat enforced, I'm digressing. Look, I've covered one article here, and I've probably got 50 or 60 important ones. It's just all a giant stinking fraud. And so he was set up as the IBM front man, and IBM has thousands of fronts that we know of. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of these low-level government people and bureaucrats and corporate shills, you don't get to keep your money. And the general that you stole, many of you, or that you earned, and then many, of course, the mainline middle class that may have $500,000 saved after 30, 40 years of working, well, you're just going to lose all that value, too. That's what this is about. You think the elites are going to just let you invest in the system and they were not going to steal from you? You think they're setting up FEMA camps and Northcom Command because they want to give you a pedicure, or, you know, they want to wash your rock and roll hair because they care about your bling and your Escalade? They'd like to see you dead. You understand that? Henry Paulson's a big eugenicist, heading up a bunch of land-grabbing operations. He's a human hater, openly calls for population reduction. I mean, just this is a sick group. So, again, all of you that think you're part of the system, just get ready. Get ready, because they're going to work you over, and they're not going to stop until you stand up against them. You understand? They'll push you all the way to the wall and past it if you keep sitting there with your thumb in your little mouth, sucking on it and acting all elitist, all these wannabe nouveau riche who are arrogant and full of themselves out there. You know who we're talking about. From all these little pampered families in places like Dallas and Houston and Long Island and L.A. And, I mean, there's communities of them everywhere who think they're gods and think they're the elite. Get ready. The elite is going to take everything you've got and then probably shove a gun in the back of your head and splatter your brains down into a pit before they kick you into it. The last thing you'll do before you die is crap yourselves. Bill Gross, we've got a Ponzi-style economy. Bill Gross is managing director of the world's largest bond fund, PIMCO, which manages some $790 billion in assets. PIMCO is managing the commercial paper assets for the Federal Reserve. It's part of the government's commercial paper funding facility. And he wrote in the January 2009 Investment Outlook that it's not only Madoff who ran a Ponzi scheme, but the entire U.S. economy in a Ponzi-like scheme. He calls it our Ponzi-style economy. And we have a link up on prisonplanet.com to the rest of the article. But and you've got a lot of these insiders now acting like they weren't part of it. You know, he's now blowing the whistle. All a Ponzi scheme. While the Ponzi scheme still had value because of people's perceptions, they bought up all the defense contractors, all the major media, all the major infrastructure. Now they don't need you anymore. They pumped you full of yourself and told you you were the elite and got you all arrogant and slack-jawed and smiley-faced. You know the spirit I'm talking about, the attitude, the cowardly attitude of these little metrosexual men out there today and all of these preening, psycho-worldly women who have had more abortions than they've bought cars in their lives. You know, they get an abortion every 2 years and get a new car every 2 years. You didn't care about that baby? Well, the elite doesn't care about you either, honey. That baby wasn't a human being? Well, you're not either to them. You're not either. Speaking of that, baby selected without cancer gene. And this is out of the Associated Press. The first British baby genetically selected to be free of breast cancer gene has been born, doctors have said. She grew from an embryo screened. That means the other embryos were thrown out. She grew from an embryo screened to ensure, that means little baby, to ensure it did not contain the faulty BRCA1 gene, which passes the risk of breast cancer down generations. But you see, I've read the geneticist studies. A lot of these cancer genes are tied to other genes that actually help us. So you watch. These people that are designer, they're going to have all sorts of problems. Just watch. Just watch. Stay with us. Russell Means is our guest for the next 35 minutes or so. And when I get back to town, I want to get him back for a full hour. And we try to go over his whole bio. It would take hours. He's well known for being in a lot of big Hollywood movies. But he's more proud of the fact that he's been one of the main leaders of the American Indian Movement. And, of course, as a writer and involved in a lot of other important work. He was born on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Both his parents had been educated in government re-education camps. And he, of course, is trying to get the people around the Dakotas area to secede, not from the U.S. It's now totally New World Order. It's not even the United States. It's this global empire that's taken over even the little empire that was called the United States here. And that's gotten international attention. They've had some success. But I saw on his YouTube channel a few days ago, and it was very touching, where he was laying out, because I've studied the history as well, the fact that, well, really what happened is the British invented concentration camps. Andrew Jackson's, who then put Native Americans in camps himself, his mother and his brother died in a British concentration camp during the Revolutionary War. So the British invented it. They actually did it to the Scots first. You see some similar things in the movie Braveheart that's somewhat historical. So people are always doing this to their neighbors. This is what happens to the more technological groups come in and dominate and kill. And then he ties it in with Hitler, who bragged that he learned everything he knew off the American Indian model with what the army did, especially out west, but also in the east. And Israel brags. And I had Ray McGovern, top CIA former officer, on saying he's been in Israel with him bragging. Hey, we're using your American Indian model. What's wrong with this? So it's on record. That's what's happening. So Russell Means, it's good to have you back on with us.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Go ahead. You've got the floor. Start breaking down the parallels here.
Well, first of all, I know that people listen to your show quite regularly, and they heard me back last year when you had me in on after we had withdrew. We didn't secede. We withdrew from the our treaties with the United States of America and reestablished our free and independent republic, the Republic of Lakota. And as an update on the Republic of Lakota is that, number one, we have devised four strategies for the rebuilding of the foundation of our republic, and that's politics, health, education, and economics. And economics, as we all know, is those that control the energy control the economics. We live, the Republic of Lakota, which also goes into two states of Dakota. That part of Dakota is called by the experts the Saudi Arabia of wind energy. And, of course, the coal companies hold hostage the energy in the West. Consequently, you have to get permission from them if you want to put up a windmill. However, we're going to build our own grid, and we begin our endeavors, and we've started that already in the Republic, as a single-house windmill independence and community independence from with windmills, wind turbines, excuse me. Wind turbines will allow our communities to be free, and because of that, investors will be drawn to the Republic of Lakota to invest in building our own grid, which we can then mother in with the other grids, but we control our own grids and costs and profits. That is one of the endeavors we're doing. The other endeavor is to be putting up working with the international community and international corporations. We are going to be putting in a computer calling center that is going to be expanding in within 5 to 6 years to a $600 million a year operation. Insofar as our health is concerned, we're bringing in naturopathic doctors as well as MDs from different parts of the world. We are presently arranging medical training for Indian students who are not allowed or into medical schools, or once they get in there, they're...
Okay, stay there. We got a break, Russell Means. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance at bliss, another kiss, another kiss. The days are bright and filled with pain. Enclose me in your gentle rain. The time you ran was too insane.
I promised to have Russell Means on for a full hour, if he can do it, to talk about, since the last time we had him on 8-9 months ago, the progress of their withdrawal, their canceling of treaties that have never been followed. He's right, it's not a secession. Glad he corrected me on that technical point. But I want to shift gears in the time we have left with him on the parallels between what's happening to the Gazans, because they're dead and dying right now. Gaza children found with mothers' corpses, the New York Times. The International Committee of the Red Cross said Thursday it had discovered shocking scenes, including small children next to their mother's corpses. Well, at least with wounded knee, they killed all the kids, too. When its representatives gained access for the first time to parts of Gaza battered by Israeli shelling, it accused Israel of failing to meet obligations to care for the wounded in the combat area. So Israel founded Hamas. That's on the record. People keep emailing me saying it's not true. They founded it to counter the PLO. That's on record. See, they didn't want a mainline secular group. That's why they overthrew Saddam. They want radicalized groups. so that they'll fight back with their sticks and stones. And so they have a pretext to come in and slaughter them. But then the argument is, well, then they're just put in camps and you know, basically their wells are poisoned. So what's the point there? And that's why the other groups say, let's go ahead and fight. Well, that's Russell Means, his take on that. He's certainly been involved fighting. Pat Buchanan says Israel turning Gaza into a concentration camp. Then MSNBC jumped on him and said, how dare you compare this to Hitler? And he said, hey, the British invented concentration camps. I didn't say death camp, but it is a death camp. Also, Obama saying to face Iran nuclear crisis in the first year. Obama saying they may attack Iran. UN accuses Israel of hurting 110 Palestinians into a house and then shelling it, leaving 30 dead. There's scores of witnesses and survivors. Russell Means, that's just some of what we've got today as I go over that news. With your perspective on this, sir, because Israel is saying they learned this from the United States and is saying, hey, you did this to your Native Americans. Why not?
Well, first of all, it's a caveman mentality, all this violence. You know, the United States, every patriarchal regime in the past, over 6,000 years that patriarchy has been in existence, has made the same mistake over and over and over again. Patriarchy is a fear-based society that, because it's fear-based, it believes that it's always under attack, the individual patriarch and his holdings. Therefore, he has the caveman mentality of settling misunderstandings with a club. Albeit, as time marches on, they are more sophisticated and technological clubs. They're clubs nevertheless, and the mentality never changes. So when you see these attacks on innocent people, I don't care throughout history, but specifically now, because the United States Empire and, the entire money system is collapsing as we speak, you'll see them revert to this caveman mentality. That's why I've always said we have to take an honest and truthful look at patriarchy and come up with another way of not allowing men to be solely in charge, because they blow it every time. What happened to the Roman Empire is now happening to the American Empire and the industrial empire around the world. For instance, if China and Saudi Arabia were to call in their treasury notes that they've bought from the U.S. so they could bankroll their wars, America would go broke. Would go bankrupt right away. They cannot pay up their obligations. The fact that the banking system, now that the Queen of England is broke, she used to be the richest, along with the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers Syndicate and the Trilateral Commission members, all of those people are now, and the world is collapsing. So it's going to be everything we've feared, everything those, survivalists back in the 70s and 80s were doing when they were training and doing all sorts of idiotic things out of fear.
They were prescient.
Those things might become true. You've got the United States of America buying its own money from the Fed. It blows my mind that we as a people are so stupid.
I call that paying to be Russell. I call that paying to be a slave.
Right, but here's what Meyer Rothschild said back in the 70s, 1700s. He said, let me see. I'm trying to find it. Oh, they don't have it. Oh, it's here. Here he is. Mm-hmm. Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes her laws. That's Rothschild. Now, the Rothschild banking system is what gave birth to all banking systems, and now they're all one. So that's why. Now with Obama in there, and he just said a couple of days ago in his news conference that over $1 trillion deficits will be here for years to come. printing phony money, it's going to eventually, and the sooner the better, that this collapse happens so that we can face reality and get on with life. But to strangle us to death like they're doing with their greed and their monetizing everything. They monetize prisoners in prison. They've monetized every entity. Did you know that the reservations, the Indian concentration camps, are monetized?
Yes.
If you look on Dun and Bradstreet, Liberty
Mutual. Russell, I would tell people this 10 years ago or longer, that they had bonds, that they were selling derivatives on the people in the prisons, that they have bonds on the number of children CPS. Now, Native Americans went through this first. Millions of Native children taken, many times killed, sterilized. Now they're doing that to the white children, and suddenly, you know, whites are upset about it because, again, now this predatory system isn't even so much racially based. It's money based by this international elite, and they are just savaging everyone.
Oh, yes, and but what gets me, it's in their bookkeeping, if they call it that, they call it quasi-money. All this value brought out of thin air. And they put it into financial packages. And it's not based on anything real.
It's fraud.
It's an imaginary value. And yet they sell it around the world in these derivative packages and other financial packages.
Exactly. At least the glass bead wampum had some visual value but was still a scam to sell New York. Now they just show you an empty box and say, look at how beautiful it is, and we sell our whole souls, sell our future. So people make fun of the Native Americans, you know, buying the pretty blue and red glass beads and nails and knives and hair combs. But, I mean, we've sold our souls for nothing.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the United States utilizing Israel as their shock troops in the Middle East, that is so pathetic. I've never understood that as soon as there's a scarcity of a natural, some natural resource, they go military. They start the bombing and the taking of prisoners and the slaughters and all of that, only because of the scarcity of a natural resource. It is, instead of creating trade, but it doesn't change with patriarchy. That's the sad part, and that's the dangerous part to our very existence.
Well,
it continues.
Well, Russell, there's a quote I saw on YouTube by a famous chief, isn't it? Can you give us that quote you got memorized?
Yes, that's what, just before Chief Seattle and the Suquamish people of the Suquamish Nation in and around the state of Washington, just before they were marched off from their homeland to a concentration camp / reservation, he gave a speech. And in that speech, and in part, he said, he was talking to the commissioners from the treaty commissioners from from Washington, D.C., the government. He said, your time of decay may be distant. It's like the waves of the sea. It is the order of nature, and regret is useless. Your time of decay may be distant, but it will surely come. For even the white man's God who walked and talked with him as friend with friend could not escape our common destiny. We may be brothers after all. We shall see. That's Chief Seattle.
What a prescient statement, understanding that, you know, the very evil you're carrying out is going to come back and bite you in the butt.
There you go. And that what goes around comes around.
Yeah, we're going to be brothers in being murdered and enslaved. It's
exactly. And it's sad that when Kerry, and I have no respect for Kerry, the former presidential candidate, the Democratic Senator, when he was caught saying words to the effect that if you're poor, you're going to end up in Iraq. And words to that effect. And he was chastised that by the national media and forced to apologize. But he's virtually correct. As long as they can keep federal control of the schools and dumbing down America and keep you so dumb that and poor that you'll be willing to risk your life for a few crummy dollars that aren't worth anything anyway.
Well, I mean, the public schooling as we know it, with the you know, the re-education, the shaved heads, the control, the federal public schooling began for natives. Why don't you briefly explain what the reservation system, what the boarding schools really were, and that's what our public schools with fences and drug dogs and zero tolerance are turning into, and tie that in, as you did eloquently, to the Native American experience, and again, Israel saying they're carrying that out now against the Palestinians.
Exactly. Every policy, and that's why I say the American people are the American Indians of the 21st century, because everything that the United States does has been bred and born and practiced on an Indian reservation before exported to the world, and now it's been brought home to roost on the backs of the American people. All these policies, health, education, land policies. Don't you think this credit crunch is getting rid of the family farmers and family ranchers? They are the backbone of America. And yet, we're allowing that to happen because this credit crunch, that's all farms and ranches and family farms run on. So consequently, they're going to be squeezed out and the corporate farming is coming in. I don't care, right-wing socialism eventually comes around and meets left-wing socialism. It's one and the same. It's just a different application and priority of spending. Now,
it's really just domesticating. I mean, they claim it's socialism, but it's only so big corporations get control and then say, here's socialism, have a poison blanket, you know, have a smallpox blanket. Now it's have a MMR shot full of cancer viruses.
Very, very definitely, yes. And the boarding school system instituted upon my parents and the Indian people up into, and still there's some boarding schools going on in America today where they're sending...
Sir, as you know, it just came out a few years ago in Canada that they're killing the Native Americans up there and sterilizing them still.
Exactly. And, you know, in a four-year period in the 70s, the federal government was caught by the American Indian Movement and a woman by the name of Dr. Connie Urie sterilizing 42% of the American Indian women in that four-year period of childbearing age.
Unbelievable.
42%. At the same time, they did 35% of the Puerto Rican women in Puerto Rico. So this is the policy America has fostered on Americans. And now everybody's getting that. Why is it the populations are going, these manufactured flus, forcing us to take flu shots? And now, you know, we were just absolute slaves with that birth certificate and Social Security card now.
Well, that's why I know you are succeeding, and I hope you succeed big time, so there is a place to go to when everything collapses. But then we know they'll probably just bring military in, but you guys will have a legal right, if they try to get violent, to say no, because you're allowed to pull out of a treaty that's been broken.
Right, but there are other countries that are not wholly a part of the IMF system, the World Bank system of finance. And those countries like Russia, those countries and others that are not part of the banking system, the wholeheartedly in the world, are going to have something to say as the United States continues to disintegrate and become part and parcel of the United Nations, you know?
Well,
that's why they hang on to the United Nations, and another reason is that's where they've been shunted. Their empire has been shunted into the United Nations.
It's not just decay. These worms of corruption you know, before they would at least try to keep the host alive. They got so greedy and so evil, they now basically have killed the host, and it and all evidence.
Exactly. You know, as much as unions have been vilified, they were the first to see what was happening, and no one listened to them. They said, as soon as they, you know, the powers that be in Wall Street and in other places, they, financial places, they're the ones who emptied out America. We have nothing to fall back on. Nothing.
Just as they did to the Native Americans, it's for total control. Stay there, Russell Means. Again, they want you broke back. They want you controlled, institutionalized in the modern reservation / plantations. But now they're entering a new phase where they just want to exterminate 80% of us. Any way you cut it, the Palestinians were driven out. They were living in peace with the Jews and Christians, and they were driven out, their markets being shot and bombed, their wells being poisoned, to the edges of what is Israel today. And then when they're under siege, they try to respond as a bargaining chip with these rockets. And Israel broke the ceasefire, bombing them. And our media just lies, because it isn't our media. It's a globalist corporate media. And we're going to have Russell Means, one of the chief leaders of the Native American movement here in the United States, back on in the near future. In the 4 minutes we've got left, sir, you know, predictions, foresight for what's going into this year. Will this, in a way, be a purifying experience going into depression? And then give out some of the websites for folks that want to check out more of the operation you guys are engaged in as you have withdrawn from the United States fraudulent treaties.
Yes, I first of all, the what's going to happen in the forthcoming years, and because we're not coming out of this, is that the United States of America, under Obama, is going to continue to try to hang on by their fingernails to their quasi-power by printing phony money. And eventually, we're going to end up like Germany did after World War One, and that is, we're going to take a wheelbarrow full of paper money to buy a loaf of bread. That actually happened in Germany, and it's going to happen here. You cannot continually cheapen the money without the house of cards falling down on you. And that's exactly what's going to be happening. And it's just going to get worse. They're not going to really look at Obama's plan. And it's not about the people. It's only about strengthening the already failing business system. You can't have a consumer society when the consumers have no money. It's idiotic. It's insanity. Obama and his henchmen and women are insane. And that's all there is to it. Men, patriarchs are insane.
Well, there's now, another.
My websites are republicoflakota.com and russellmeansfreedom.com.
russellmeansfreedom.com and republicoflakota.com. And for those that don't know how to spell Lakota, would you spell that for people, please, sir?
Well, Lakota is spelled L-A-K-O. T-A-H. You can spell it without an H or with an H, but L-A-K-O-T-A-H.
And I promise, sir, if you'll do it, we'll have you back up in the near future to go more into Obama and separately more into what you sovereign folks are doing out there in your area of the lower 48 with those four states that are clearly your land. And glad to see what you're doing out there, because the United States doesn't even exist anymore. We're a holding of the internationalists. And that was the final caveat I would add, is that just like Germany also had a Versailles Treaty, we're being blamed for the economic collapse when it's internationalists running, and they're going to seize all our infrastructure and give it to offshore corporations that engineered all this to begin with. So there's also going to be an acceleration of looting.
Yes, that's for sure. Bank robberies are already up 80%. In this country. So we're it's all beginning. We're going to be back to the 30s and worse.
What's the term in your native tongue for collapse?
One each. Which means, of course, nothing.
All right. Russell, let me say bye to you during this break, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got Alan Watt for 2 hours and open phones with him coming up in T-minus 60 minutes. After the next break, we're going to have Bob Chapman, who joins us every Friday for about 50 minutes, theinternationalforecaster.com. I'm Alex Jones. My websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But I wanted to play part of a Russia Today interview with Peter Schiff, where he really boils it down and likens the collapse of the United States that's coming to what happened to the old Soviet Union. Remember, though, this is all orchestrated and engineered, and we have the documents. That's something that, unfortunately, Mr. Schiff and Mr. Means and others, I don't think, understand. But we'll talk more about that with Bob Chapman straight ahead. Here is Peter Schiff on Russia Today.
Buying trillions and trillions of dollars of government debt, and the dollar is just going to implode. Nobody's going to want it, not even Americans.
When the dollar implodes, what does it mean for Americans living in this country consuming with the dollar?
Well, they're not going to be consuming anymore. I mean, because the dollar's not going to buy anything. Remember, the only reason we're able to buy stuff now is because foreigners will send us all the stuff they make in exchange for our dollars. Mm-hmm. When they don't want our dollars anymore, we're not going to get their stuff. And we don't have the factories to produce the stuff ourselves. And so we're going to have a bunch of money, but we're not going to buy anything.
Are we talking bread lines? I mean,
well, if the government imposes price controls, which is something I think is coming, I think under the Obama administration, inflation is going to get so bad that I believe the government is going to, you know, follow the misguided footsteps of the Nixon and impose price controls on various consumer goods, including food items, energy items. And if we do that, yes, there'll be long lines for everything. And people will start trading on the black market. If you want to buy something, you won't be able to buy it officially. You'll have to buy it in the black market. And what will the black market currency be? Will it be the euro? Will it be silver coins? What will Americans be trading in illegally to try to procure the things that they need? Because we are on a collision course for massive inflation.
So what do people do to prepare for, honestly, the doom and gloom that you're describing right now?
What individual Americans need to understand is if they've got dollars invested in government bonds, in municipal bonds, in treasuries, if they've got insurance, if they've got cash value in that, if they've got bank accounts, they've got CDs, all that wealth is going to be wiped out unless they act quickly to get out of U.S. dollars and to move their wealth into foreign currencies, into bonds issued by foreign governments or foreign corporations. They can buy stocks, common stocks, traded in foreign markets, but where the incomes and dividends are paid in foreign currencies, they can buy precious metals, they can buy gold and silver, they can buy other commodities, but people need to act quickly to get out of U.S. dollars before the dollars lose their value.
The fact the U.S. is in such a weak position right now because of the economy, do you think that this could have an effect on its position when it comes to foreign policy?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, America is going to lose its role as a dominant player in the global economy, whether it's economically, whether it's militarily. I mean, you know, at one point, right, the Soviet Union was this giant superpower, but ultimately it collapsed because it couldn't finance it anymore, because it never really had the economy. And once it could no longer support the empire, it collapsed around it. And it was very quick. I mean, the Soviet Union was reduced to practically nothing in just a short period of time. And you know, people wouldn't even believe that it was possible. I think you have a similar situation where the United States, our entire military presence around the world, could come to a very abrupt end when we can no longer afford to support the empire. I mean, we only can afford to support it now because of the overvalued dollar and the fact that we're able to borrow so much money from the rest of the world. But I think once the dollar collapses, our military might is going to follow our economic might, and we're going to be increasingly marginalized. We're still living off of the reputation that we once had, and we're still squandering the wealth that was handed to us by our grandparents instead of really creating the new wealth. The new wealth creation is taking place outside the United States. It's taking place in Asia. And I think as America falls from grace, you're going to see new economic powers born. And I think as the American consumer dies, you're going to see consumers in Asia born. And, you know, that's one of the main points that I've been trying to make over the last several years, and people don't seem to get it, is that the United States has not been the engine of the global economy. We've been the caboose. And the rest of the world has been dragging us around like we're dead weight.
Do you think President Obama would?
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
If you've got a question for Bob Chapman, theinternationalforecaster.com, he has predicted almost every trend and development we've seen. Very accurate history, and that's the type of guest we bring you. People who've proven themselves. Whereas the mainstream media, the federal government, the Federal Reserve has been lying to you for years, saying everything's wonderful, we're sound, having a debt-based economy is good, go into debt deeper, the whole time they were setting up the public. And we have the IMF and World Bank documents on this. We have the Bilderberg sources on this 3 years ago. They were planning to pop the subprime mortgage in the next year and a half, which they did. And then you can argue that it's gotten out of control for them. I don't know if I agree with that, but regardless, they are going to organize and control their response. And out of the crisis, we see government expanding. We see a consolidation of power, vertical integration, a massive destruction of wealth in that transfer. But again, a greater centralization of wealth. This is no doubt happening. So we'll be taking your calls for Bob Chapman in this hour at 1-800-259-9231. Bob, we've had the chief strategist at the Bank of England come out and say within 2 to 5 years, the dollar will be completely devalued and dumped. That's what you've been saying, 2 to 5 years. You say 2 to 3. Others are coming out and saying similar things. We have one of the biggest fund managers in the world coming out today and saying the entire economy is a Ponzi scheme. I want to get into that. And then we have UBS and the federal government going around shutting down people's Swiss bank accounts, but these are the small fry Swiss bank accounts. This is selectively being done. It's only 18 billion of these 19,000 accounts. Sounds like a lot. It's nothing. We know it's all really going to Dubai and Luxembourg, so that's all part of selective enforcement as well. I'm going to get your analysis on that. But first off, we're suddenly seeing The Economist and all these other publications signal depression. I had Paul Craig Roberts on. He said no way to avert the depression now. He said it will be he agreed with my term, as you have, hyper-stag inflation. He said the most devastating combination ever seen. Nothing like this has ever happened. Bob Chapman.
Well, let's start off with Peter, and he put it eloquently. I agree with him. There's only one thing I disagree with, and he believes that by going into other markets and investing in those places that you can avoid some of or these problems in America and perhaps what Western Europe and others are going to experience. And what, in fact, the whole world is going to experience dreadful economic and financial experiences. Nobody is going to be left unscathed. And to think that there'll be a decoupling, I don't think that's going to happen. And that's what Pete is talking about. I think the only true place to be for safety is gold and silver-related assets. And if you are a wealthy person and you want to have 20 or 30 or 40% of your assets in another safe place, or a relatively safe place, I have recommended Swiss franc treasuries. Other than that, I don't have anything to offer, other than the fact that's where I disagree with him. But the rest of what he said is absolutely correct.
Well, I mean, when you go into a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome type crisis, you've only want what you can physically hold. All the main analysts are saying this crisis is a black hole that is sucking the world in, and whereas the globalists like to blame the U.S. for this, it's the globalists that did it, and they've run the same Ponzi schemes in every major nation.
And what's happening now, I saw an article this morning from Europe, and they were talking about clients of banks demanding gold coins and gold bars, etc. They haven't seen that in Switzerland since probably the late 1980s. And generally, you know, and throughout Europe.
Explain. Swiss bank accounts are and other safe havens are saying, we don't want your paper. Give us gold or we won't hold it.
Well, they're not going that far, but they're...
I've seen reports of that. Go ahead.
Well, the clients are saying, we want gold. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's as simple as that. I'm sure that there are many pro-gold Swiss bankers today, as 10 years ago there weren't, 20 years ago there weren't. There were in the late 70s, because I used to spend a lot of time over there. But, you know, things change. But anyway... as far as the accounts that you mentioned earlier, yes, that is kind of a shovel of sand into the ocean. There's a lot more accounts over there than that. But in October, what happened was that the Swiss banks did agree that any American who has opened an account in Switzerland from here on out would have to file a W-9, and they would file it for him. So that means for any new people, it would be no secrecy.
Why are they going after UBS? Why are they closing 19,000 accounts? I mean, we know that the OECD has been saying they don't want any tax havens. They want world taxation in every nation under this new global government run by the central banks, the elite banks, where every nation has on average an 80% tax rate. They say France is the model. They call the United States a tax haven, and now the United States has been empowering worldwide the OECD to go out and try to shut down these accounts, but we know it's selectively being done. Why? I mean, do they just want the money? Are they setting a precedent?
They want to control everybody's money, and they want to make sure they get every bit of tax that they're supposed to get so they can steal it. That's really the bottom line on this thing. And this has been underway for the last 8 years under Bush here in the United States. I mean, I've talked to heads of government who have told me right straight to my face over dinner that they came in here, they told us you're going to do this, 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 and this, and if you don't, we're going to cut off your internet, all your communications, all your banking connections. We're going to make it so miserable you'll have no tourism. You either agree or we'll destroy you.
It's just total mafia. And to explain, the ultra hyper rich use government as a vacuum cleaner with the umbrella of force to go around the world, including the United States, taxing the middle class and the nouveau riche and the new wealth, sucking it into government, then it goes offshore to these globalist combines that are outside the law. Example, Goldman Sachs paid less than 1% in corporate taxes in 2008 and in 2007. So they pay basically nothing, and then average citizens, let's say you try to own a car dealership, you try to own a restaurant, you try to own a real estate company, you try to own a clothier, anything, they're going to squeeze the daylights out of you. And then now, let's say you're some middle-class person or nouveau riche person who got money offshore, even money you had earned. A lot of these things are people's money they earn. They just put it overseas. They don't trust U.S. banks. Maybe they want to retire in Europe. They're saying, no, we're taking that money too now. So literally, this is the mafia government.
And that's why it got to be stopped. And if it's not stopped, America is going to be pauperized. And one of the things that... Peter brought out, and Paul Craig Roberts and I have brought out before, is free trade and globalization, which has led to the destruction of the manufacturing industries in the United States. One of the ways that we could stop this that's going on, not financially, but and there's a reason I'm telling you all this, but for the American worker, is simply to invoke, and I think it's coming, invoke trade barriers, things that we've had since the year 1800, tariffs on goods and services, that would reverse this whole thing. Now, I brought this up because all those transnational corporations are making money by manufacturing goods in China, selling them in America, and the profits go to the Cayman Islands. Now, if you remember 3 years ago, what they did was the U.S. Congress, which is bought and paid for, they passed a law which was supposed to insert money into companies in the United States so they could hire more people, increase employment. And that money was to come from these transnationals that had all this money offshore that had never been taxed. And instead of paying 33%, they paid 5.25%. What a sweetheart deal on $360 billion. Now, we should have got 33% of that, we, the American government. And that bears out exactly what you're talking about. Two sets of rules, one for us and one for them.
And they're going for broke. By debasing all the nations of the world, they make us weak, bankrupt, easily controlled. Meanwhile, they are internationalized. They aren't beholden to the same set of rules because they're the internationalists. They're the global government openly with the private central bank family setting world law. This is the ultimate tyranny. This is like a science fiction nightmare.
And that's why, Alex, there's going to only be one answer. And it's going to be in the streets because these people are not going to give up. Every nation is going to have the same problem America's going to have. They're all going to be on the verge of revolution. That's why I don't think we'll ever see foreign troops brought in to quell anything in America. I mean, let's say that Brazil was asked to send troops in to America to help put down insurrection. Well, the minute they do that, they're going to have insurrection in Brazil because there's no troops around.
Well, look at Greece. Look at San Francisco. The cop cold-bloodedly kills the guy. They say the cop's going to go free. He did a good job killing him. And so the people riot. What do you expect him to do?
That's right.
Thank God they've still got some humanity in them, some anger. And the media decries it. They should just sit down and enjoy the fact this young man's dead. That officer did an excellent job. That's sick. Absolutely. And then they lied about it and said there weren't any videotapes. It turned out there were. I mean, just unbelievable. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman and your phone calls. Stay with us. I want to start going to your calls right now because listeners will bring up a lot of questions that I wouldn't have thought to ask or that points that Bob wouldn't have thought to make, but he has knowledge on. But briefly, Bob, dealing with the nature of the overlords that are carrying this out, they're not invincible, they're not God. They have a lot of systems of brainwashing and control and deception, but once people lose confidence in them, you know, they'll try to set up new dummy institutions to get confidence. That's what Obama is, but people are already seeing through that facade rather quickly, and we see that degrading fast. So I predict within 6-8 months, you'll have a 50% approval rating, 40% approval rating instead of 60-plus right now, and then it'll plunge down to about 15% within a year and a half. Congress still has a 9% approval rating, but Bob, when you read the PNAC documents or Brzezinski's The Great Chessboard or Between Two Ages, you know, they say, we're the world empire, we've got to make this move, it's risky, but we've got to try to enslave everybody. They're very honest about it. And so I guess it's the position of, we've got the power, we've got to use it, and so they're overreaching. I agree with you, I don't see this New World Order going too well.
Yeah, I think they've made a lot of mistakes, particularly in the last 10 years. And Brzezinski, 3.5-4 years ago, said that, particularly in relation to the Bush administration, which has just been a disaster for them. And they passed a point of no return in June 2002. And I know that Paul Craig Roberts says there's no way back. Well, there's been no way back for a long time, about 6 years. And so they got to go forward with this thing. And they're not going to come out unscathed. When you see Kissinger in his three minutes on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange a couple of days ago, telling us that Obama's going to usher in the new world order. He's letting everybody on Wall Street and corporate America and in banking and government know that the program's still on and we're in there and we're going to make it happen.
And he's saying you better toe the line.
That's right. It was essentially a threat, and I like threats because it makes me more steadfast.
And let's see
what they want. We're going to beat them, Alex. It's going to be very painful, but we're going to beat them.
I agree. Now we see Pat Robertson saying socialism will save us. He says the people will accept it. He says Obama is unstoppable. Just submit to him.
He's been talking to God again. Why don't we ever have that opportunity? Why is it always him?
Well, hey, Bob, why do we see all these top real estate brokers, bond brokers, and other Adolf Merkel, one of the world's richest men, mysteriously dies, commits suicide? We're seeing a lot of these mid-level elitists dying.
Well, I can't answer why, because I don't know. They said it was a suicide, but who knows? You know, I've seen suicides where people have shot themselves in the back. You know, they've got this thing, this system, so controlled. It's just like you pointed out earlier. The policeman shoots a man in the back and said he was defending himself, and there were no cameras when in fact there were. And they're still not going to do anything. It's okay to murder people.
Yeah, they confiscate people's cell phone cameras. And it turns out people in another train did get video of it, and now they're in a lot of trouble, but they're so arrogant, they say, cop goes free, nothing we can do about it. Yeah, this guy threw himself...
But that vein goes entirely through this upper echelon of, we can never be wrong. We get two sets of rules, one for us, one for you, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, I get news for them. We're going to change it, Alex, aren't we?
Well, we don't have any choice. We've got to. These people are giving us no quarter. But let's go ahead and go to a phone call for Bob Chapman. Don in Canada, you're on the air. Hey, Don, you want to be on air? Okay,
hello?
Go ahead, Don. You want to be on air? Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. One was Marvin Bush. I'm sort of... I like your movies like 9/11, Truth Rising, but I'm sort of surprised there's no Marvin Bush footage. I was just wondering, is the truthers, this is a call out to the truthers to get footage of Marvin Bush? Someone asked.
Well, I mean, we confront who we can confront in cities all across the nation, and Marvin Bush doesn't come out from under his rock much. But yes, in two of my 9/11 films, we do talk about how he was running security on the World Trade Centers. And then the debunkers say that's not true. It's in mainstream news articles, and his mother wrote about it in her memoir 3 years ago. That's how we know about it.
Yeah. But I just want to say something to the truthers. They're doing a great job, and keep it up. And one last question is about Arnold Schwarzenegger wearing the Nazi death's head belt buckle.
Mm-hmm.
And in the magazine with Bloomberg. And actually, probably a year ago, I saw him with Bloomberg on another cover wearing the same belt buckle. And, I'm just shocked that no one's ever asked him a question about that. Like
because, there's rules for us and then rules for them. He can say he loves Hitler. He can say he wants to be a dictator. That's good. If you say he's a Nazi, the ADL calls you a Nazi. Chapman's our guest. We're continuing with your phone calls. Sean in New York, you're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
How you doing, Bob? What I wanted to ask about, pretty much, is it even worth us paying? I know it's pretty stupid, but I mean, just asking, since the money's pretty much going to amount to nothing, is it pretty much even worth paying, most of these bills and credit card debts and all these sort of things that the American people are going to be having to deal with? I mean, if the money is pretty much going to be worth nothing at all?
Well, you've got to understand that the people that you owe the money to are still going to be within the system. There is going to be some kind of a system. Maybe it'll break down from time to time, but you're still going to have to pay it off. And it, just because the value of the dollar goes down, it still means that you have to pay those bills. The way you protect yourself is to call Midas and purchase gold and silver coins.
Well, sir, let me break down the basics of this. It's a very sophisticated, nuanced question. Here's the deal, and they've announced this. England is actually bringing back debtor prisons where they're going to put you in jail if you haven't paid debts, where they're going to allow repo men, bounty hunters in the U.S. and England, this is now being announced, to come in your house, to knock your door down and come in and literally take your jewels, whatever they want. This is already happening in England. They're proposing it here. And so what's going to happen is if you don't pay your credit cards, if you don't pay your house, if you don't pay for things like that, when they push onto a cashless society, and this is already starting to happen, that means even if you're trying to pay cash, they're going to demand you swipe your card or when you pay with a check. Instead of the check or the credit card scan to see if you've bounced checks, they're already adding to it, do you have bad credit? Have you ever not paid a credit card off? And they say, sorry, we're not accepting even your debit card or even your check. And then they're talking about not even your cash. So talk about the beast system. They are saying that you won't be able to buy or sell in these major mega marts, which are taking over. They're actually getting more profitable during the crisis as Main Street dies even further. And now all over the nation, they're raiding watermelon stands, egg stands. They're raiding people that slaughter their own lamb and sell it at a local co-op. They're shut. They are massively increasing bureaucracies to shut down the family farm, animal ID, premises ID. And so as they squeeze you, they're then going to make it very hard for you to be in the underground black market or free economy. And then they're going to force you into a national ID card where there's no economy left, and they dump credits onto your card that you can barely live on. But then you have to, quote, be part of the National Compulsory Service Brigades, that they're going to have 8 separate groups they've announced at change.gov. So, again, yeah, the banks, they don't have to pay their bills, but you do. Now, at a certain point, if it comes down to feeding your families, yeah, don't pay the bills anymore. But that's a moral decision you have to pay. Don't screw the guy that fixes your car on credit. That's immoral. But if it isn't paying a credit card to a private bank that created out of fiat, I see nothing immoral about that. You just have to understand the consequences of how they're going to use this cashless grid to squeeze you. People say, I don't care if it's a cashless grid tracking me. What do I have to hide? That grid is meant to rape you financially. It's run by criminals, genius level people who revel in control. Bob?
Absolutely. I couldn't say it any better. Perfect.
And one more thing, Alex, I just wanted to ask you. I know you keep on putting out statistics of people really waking up, and I really believe it, but then there's still a lot of times that I can talk to old people and, you know, even people my age. I'm only 24. And I can just still ask some questions, and there still seems to be in this Obama days of just not nowhere near understanding half of what's even going on or what's about to come.
Well, what did Russell Means just say about Obama? He says he's pure evil. And anybody who really knows history knows Obama is a front man. I mean, as racist as this New World Order is, they didn't put a guy that's half black in there because they wanted to. They put him in there because they own him, and he's going to sucker people.
My confidence, you know, diminishes sometimes because I like, you know, to be intellectual with people and converse back and forth. That's how actually you can get information across when you're conversing with people back and forth about what's going on. But old people, even Chinese people, I talk to them, all different, you know, groups, but nobody just still seems to just know what's going on.
Well, here's some good news. Here's some good news. I went to the mall because the lady cuts my hair is in the mall. I don't normally go to the mall. Don't really like that culture. But I'm in there, and I had 3 separate black guys, 2 of them working at little kiosks, stop me and go, you know, I always liked you for years, but kind of got upset at first when you didn't like Obama, but I want to basically apologize. You were right about Obama. and I can see his betrayal. So give him some time. The people who won't wake up is white yuppies, because they're just so arrogant. They're so trusting in the system that Bob Chapman, you want to comment on that?
No. It's perfect. It reflects exactly what's going on. And he's just a front man. And, we have Team B went in for Team A. And they're all Illuminati. They're all CFR, et cetera. And they're going to keep on doing exactly what they were doing before.
Yeah, I mean, I say this a lot, but I want listeners to understand something. This isn't a game. This is life and death. I get death threats. Bob gets them. Bob's had to leave the country, okay? I mean, this is the real world. We have people attacking us last night that I'm not even going to get into on air. I mean, it's off the charts. But again, that's a blessing. We know we're having an effect. But for those that are doubting if any of this isn't real or we're exaggerating, we're holding back the severity, Bob.
You're right. Absolutely right.
Anything else?
And I'll tell you something. We are hurting them very, very badly. And by going to the sponsor of these kinds of programs and helping them keeps us on the air. And
absolutely.
Not only us, there's others like us as well. And we've got to get the word out. And as Alex just said, people are coming up to him and saying, gee, you know, at the first I didn't believe you, and now I do, and I'm glad you said what you said, and you're truthful. And people desperately need the truth.
Absolutely. You were trying to say something else, Sean?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's why I just really want to thank you and Bob, especially, and for you guys to know that myself, and I'm pretty sure that there's millions of others that actually live, like, day-to-day life off of you guys' information. And, just appreciate you guys coming on every single day, because we tune in every day to learn what steps we can do, advanced steps to probably fight this thing. And you guys' information is vital to us. So,
Sean, God bless you, and I appreciate that, and that's how we keep going on. I want to be clear, though, because this is a reflex. This is an instinct you need to have. I'm not lying to you. Everything I tell you is documented. I had a guest on yesterday, and he said they haven't announced yet that a world government run by banks will control us. And I said, yes, they have. And I pulled up Newsweek and a few other articles and put it on screen. So everything I cover is, Bob, this is what I just had a huge flashback. Yesterday, I learned that there's a bill introduced that Democrats have a good chance of passing, to where the Attorney General is given carte blanche, letter of marque, to ban any guns he wants. And this is the former Clinton Deputy Attorney General. And they are already saying that they will ban most rifles and handguns. Now I have the bill number. I've read the bill. And I'm so busy covering everything else, and I'm so subconsciously acclimated to the belief that I really know they're coming after our guns, that then I don't even ring the alarm bell because I've been so deep in this fight. Can you speak to that psychological danger we have or do you ever get into that where you get so acclimated to these horrors that it becomes second nature and you even lose your capacity to become upset by it? You almost become accustomed to this devilishness, because I have the bill right here and I haven't even given the bill number out in 2 days. I keep forgetting to get to it.
Well, I think you better give it out right now. Do you have it?
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up in a minute. I had it up on screen. I mean, that's my
point.
Well,
I want to say this, and to answer your question, after these many years I've been involved in this, the sensitivity is still there to what's going on. But what you have to do, and I call it compartmentalization, in your brain, you have your field of knowledge, and then you have what the bad guys are doing, and then you have the new events that are coming along. And you have to first discern what part of the new events that are coming along are important and must be reported on. And Alex, you're doing the same thing. And then it becomes part of your job. You don't become callous toward it, but you become used to it. But you don't lose your sensitivity, and we can see that on the program when you start talking quicker, and we can feel the emotion in your voice. And it's the same with myself. So you and I, at least, haven't been desensitized.
Well, I mean, by
desensitized, it's hard to handle it. But we've got to do it for them. all those people out there, well, because they can't handle it, but we can.
Well, I mean, it's more nuanced. I guess I'm not articulating it right. I'm more sensitive than ever, but it's like I'm a batter up with 1,000 baseballs coming at me, and just incredible things come on the scene now that would have shaken the whole situation 10 years ago, and now there's so many mega bad things happening that it makes my head spin. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that is the truth. I mean, I say to my wife, should we rename the International Forecaster to the International Financial and Economic, Political and Social Inquirer? I mean, there is no good news out there that I can find.
I'm looking for the article right now. It's just, here it is. Proposed law would allow Obama AG holder to ban guns at will. Now, when I saw this in WorldNet Daily, I believed it because they're a pretty good source on things like that, but I wanted to go read the bill. So this was Monday night now. Tuesday night. I can't believe it's all these days I haven't gotten to it. And it says proposed law. You know, in a way, it's so horrific. I think in a way, I psychologically suppress it. You know, people think I want to get up here and bash cops. 90% of the time, I don't even cover the articles I have because it makes me sick. You know, it's not like we're here even trying to give people all the bad news. Bob, do you ever kind of just cringe as all the info's coming in because you don't even want to have to analyze it because you're sick of it?
You better believe it. You better believe it. And, you know, it just gets nastier and nastier. Especially when I see people like Kissinger on television and CNBC and Brzezinski and people like that. They're so, so evil.
And relishing. He's saying this crisis is wonderful. The economic, the military. He said he was getting happy. His eyes twinkled. He said, this is going to help us. This is good. This is going to bring in a new world order. What a sick bastard while those children in Gaza are dead everywhere.
That's right. And they don't care how many people die. They're above that.
Here it is. Nimmo did a detailed story on it, but he sources WorldNet Daily and AP here. Proposed law may allow Obama AG to ban guns at will. Now, this is the same thing. Congress cedes unlimited, no oversight, complete power to the private Federal Reserve and the Treasury, separate and above government. Greenspan goes on air and brags, we're above you all. No one can even investigate us. It's the same thing here. It's like ceding imperial, godlike, right of king power. It says, it looks like the gun grabbers may have a field day when the new Congress convenes. According to Bob Unruh, writing for WorldNet Daily, Obama's AG nominee, Eric Holder, is a big gun grabber, I would add, may have the ability to ban guns at will. They cite H.R. 1022, sponsored by New York Democrat Carolyn McCarthy and 67 co-sponsors. And it goes on to say that when the new Democrats are seated in the new House, which I guess has just now happened, they have a good chance of passing it. And then we have the bill sections here where it just says at will he can ban any firearms he wants. So no longer is there laws. It's just a blank check, Bob. And here's Obama, who in Chicago supported total gun bans and said that was reasonable, and who supported the D.C. total gun ban. And he says, don't worry, I believe in your Second Amendment. We can't just carte blanche ban them all at once, but we can by law prescribe and ban a lot of them. I mean, the son of a bitch is on record, and the people are still in denial.
They just don't get it. And it's part of the brainwashing process. Half of them are out to lunch. And whether we'll get them back or not, I don't know. But we will get them once they're in the street, when their house is gone and the cars are gone and the debit card has no credits in it anymore. That's unfortunately when they're going to wake up. And if they pass this legislation, you better bury your weapons and your ammunition. Because if you turn it in, you're duck soup.
Yeah, and I apologize for using a little bit of that French, but I mean, that just came out of me. I mean, this is, they're getting ready to take your guns. This is America. And then the FBI's got all these manuals, Bob, saying we're terrorists because we believe there's a new world order and they want our guns. And then now they're all over the news saying world government, world and Newsweek, world government run by a private bank. And then still the FBI says, no, you're crazy. It doesn't exist. I mean, how dare them? They openly work for a bankrupt criminal system.
Absolutely.
I mean, how does that doublethink work, Bob, to separately say none of this world government exists while they openly announce it?
Again, they do what they want. They do it the way that they want. And, you know, there's nobody to stop them except your program and programs like it.
I want to ask the FBI.
I mean, this is the last hope.
I mean, I want to ask the FBI and people that are involved in all this. I mean, you like being the guys that are coming for our guns. You like being the guys that support the Madoffs that are looting the country. You like being the guys that work for the people that run the child kidnapping rings that are in mainstream news. I mean, you really like, or you deny and say, oh, no, it's not criminal. No, you know it's criminal. It's bankrupt from pillar to post. And you say, well, I'm not involved in that directly. Yeah, but your silence and being part of the system, you are guilty. You are accessories. Bob Chapman.
Well, I agree with that completely because they know what's going on. And it's situation ethics, if you may. And they justify it by the paycheck. And you get the same thing with law enforcement. And they better wake up because, you know, they come after us, they ain't going to go home.
Well, who could imagine they'd actually get away with this? I mean, they're coming for the guns now. They've introduced a bill where they can ban whatever they want, whenever they want, a blank check, and the Federal Reserve governor is in Bloomberg saying that even the regional Fed isn't involved in decisions, that a group above Treasury and the Fed New York has implemented war powers. War powers. Folks, that's martial law. That's a hoity-toity name for martial law over the Congress, over the system. Bob Chapman, stay there. We'll come back, take more phone calls. I want to keep you 5 minutes into the next hour on this Friday edition. Then we'll go live with Alan Watt from Canada. Stay with us.
Well, the union's a big business man, and they're going out like a dinosaur.
Chapman, I'm going to come back in the next little segment, take a few more calls. But right now, briefly, I wanted Bob and Ted Anderson to have a chance to talk, because I know the Midas Resources also offers a trial copy of the International Forecaster. But Ted is doing, gold is up again today, but Ted bought it a few weeks ago at the 760 level. So he's, again, the price is close to, I guess, $90 under what it is right now. So he factors that into the savings. Ted, tell folks out there about today and throughout the weekend the gold offer, and then I don't know what Bob's going to say. I want to see what he's going to say because he's a great analyst on this, of how good a deal he thinks it is. So Bob Chapman and Ted Anderson, you guys talk.
Yeah, well, basically what I have right now, Alex, I mean, gold did edge up again today and seen a peak of 868.90, which means it is getting stronger. The unemployment figures came out way low. I mean, way higher than what it was. So, I mean, it's just the whole economy here is melting down. What I did is I picked up some francs here just a short while ago at that price level that you're referring to, and they're currently at 204, where the British sovereign is at 252. Walking Liberty halves are at 840 or $8.40 or $168 per roll of 20. All that stuff is in really a good buying range at this time. Obviously, with the economy melting down, I just can't think of a better time for people to be getting involved in the gold and silver, plus also having the support of rising market prices. The whole thing. I mean, that gun issue that you're talking about earlier on should make people's blood boil. But, I mean, it's all tied together, this whole New World Order thing, this Democrat versus Republican, right versus left, and you're talking about how it's this team or that team that has to win. I mean, it's like in a football game. Here in Minnesota, it's the Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers. It doesn't matter. It's still the football game that's being played, and that's exactly what's going on here economically.
Well, let me break this down and then get Bob's take on this. Look, we've got the head strategist, the Bank of England, saying the dollar within 2 to 5 years will be gone, maybe even faster. All these other world leaders are now saying it, I guess trying to signal that. There may come a time when you can't buy gold and silver with Federal Reserve notes. Folks, you need to move into gold and silver right now. Bob, A, is this a good deal, Ted's offering? B, why is, you know, gold and silver important to hold?
Well, first of all, gold and silver is important to hold because it's the ultimate money. And when you have a devaluation, the value of what you own in gold and silver is going to go up in value versus the paper currency. As far as the francs are concerned, they're an excellent buy. Excellent. In fact, it's an extraordinary buy. But the point is, even after the francs are gone, they're sold out. You've got to continue to keep on buying. It's the only safe place for you to be.
By the way, that's the next point. You know, Ted's been doing this 30 years. You've been doing it even longer than that. But, you know, as a broker, just analyzing it, not on the hard sales side, Ted, even though most of his competition can't even find francs and things, they're now sending him. Most of them are uncirculated, meaning they're getting down to their last stores, Bob.
Well, that is not surprising with the reports I hear coming in from all over the world that it's extraordinarily difficult to get gold and silver, and particularly in coins.
Well, that,
I mean, you know, this is everywhere.
Let me fire the number out, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237, and there'll be brokers there till midnight Friday. And, Ted, does this deal go through the weekend?
Yeah, we'll hold it right through the weekend.
800-686-2237. Folks, we're going to start the next hour, and I want Ted to be able to finish up his one-minute comment, then I'll take one or two final calls for Bob Chapman. But again, that number, 800-686-2237.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All the callers that have been holding, if you want, you can talk to Alan Watt. If not, you can hang up. But we're going to go to Andrew in London in a moment. That's all we have time for with Bob Chapman because we've got Alan Watt coming up. Everybody else will get to you. We just wanted to talk to Bob. You can hang up, as I said. But Ted, do you have 50 buffaloes to offer today as well?
Yeah, I didn't get enough time to say that. I do have the buffaloes as well, and they're currently right now at 1,036. I am again going to limit that supply just to 50 because it's trickling. And your
now again, those have a bit, you know, those have huge premiums everywhere else. That's a lot more per ounce of gold than the francs, but that's because they're you know, that's more of a collectible because they're very scarce. The francs, the sovereigns, you've got them all. 800-686-2237. What was the final point you wanted to make, Ted?
Well, the final point was you're talking about at some point in time, paper currency can't buy gold or won't buy gold, and that's already occurring. The supplies of gold in the physical market with the coins are drying up, and you're trying to trade paper for gold. I mean, think about it. Paper for gold. Why would paper be worth gold? And the only reason why it is because the United States government has been, you know, living on a legacy that paper was once exchangeable for gold, and since then we've lost all fiscal responsibility, and there's no budget that's being held with any kind of containment, and the printing press is just merging on, and obviously paper will not buy gold in the future, and I suggest that you do it now while it can.
800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. You're not going to find a better deal on those francs and sovereigns anywhere else, and that's a great deal also on the buffaloes. But again, that's more of a collector coin because the mint sold out of them, what, 6-8 months ago. Thank you, Ted Anderson.
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Alex.
You bet. And that goes throughout Sunday evening, I guess into Monday morning. Bob Chapman, we're going to take a call from London, Andrew. But in closing, anything you want to add to what Ted said?
No, I think he covered it pretty good.
Andrew in London, you're on the air with Bob Chapman, the internationalforecaster.com. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I know you guys recommend gold. I think that's great. I wanted to ask you about Treasury inflation-protected securities, the Treasury bonds linked to inflation. What's wrong with that as an idea, in addition to gold?
Well, the major problem is the linkage on the CPI figure is bogus. So if you have a 2.5% yield on a inflation-protected security, such as a 10-year note, and inflation in reality right now is probably somewhere in the vicinity of 11%, why would one want to do that and have a guaranteed loss and pay taxes too?
Right. I was just thinking, as you know, if you don't want to put everything into gold, then you might try some of these as well. But
I steer away from the U.S. currency. There's not a lot of people who agree with me, but that's normal for me. And I've been recommending Swiss franc government bonds.
Right.
Of the whole lot, that to me is the best shot. But the best shot among currencies, if that's where you have to be. If you don't have to be there, you got to be in gold and silver.
Right. And how do you recommend buying currencies then?
I essentially don't.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, sir,
I think the bonds are a better vehicle. They usually yield about 1%, and if you must be there, I think that's the best shot.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sir, I mean, if you have tremendous assets, I would be greatly diversified. But for the average person, gold and silver is the way to go, or to have paid off property. But with property taxes, you really don't own it, and they can take it that way too. Right, Bob?
That's right. So you got to have some of those Federal Reserve notes available in order to pay that tax. It's extraordinarily important.
All right, Bob Chapman, I want to thank you. Folks can get a free copy of the International Forecaster when they call Midas Resources at 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. I want to thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you again next week, Lord willing.
Okay, thank you, Alex. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bob. There he goes. All right, we'll come back with Alan Watts. Stay with me.
We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, or we're going to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
There's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are live. Friday, the 9th day of January 2009. We are the good ship Humanity, steaming straight in to the New World Order super typhoon that intends to sink us. I see the gullible, poisoned, hypnotized public. They're like little children, so trusting, having no idea the grid that is being built and tightened around their little throats. But as history has shown, the public is generally out playing foolishly. And it is up to the good men and women of honor, of decency, who love humanity, and who understand the danger of corruption and wickedness, to stand up and fight. And if we take the field, they will fail. The New World Order will fall. We don't have a choice. They are giving us no quarter. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com is our guest website. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. My websites, of course, are PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. And he joins us every few weeks. We're always honored to have him join us from Canada. He is Alan Watt. He's with us for the next hour and 50 minutes. Alan Watt, we didn't do any pre-interview. Whatever you want to get into today, I'd love to break it down. Any of the latest news developments. The establishment is accelerating their announcement. They are setting up a World Bank to be the world government. They are admitting just so much of their agenda right now. Out of the gates, why is the establishment, after denying all this for all these decades, now emerging and admitting that they indeed are setting up a tyrannical world government, but for our own good, in quotes?
I think, to be honest with you, that they're so sure of themselves now, they have the whole thing in the bag. They do control all of society. The cultures of every country in the world now are, they're interdependent, the same as the economy is, the cultures are as well. It all comes from Hollywood and television, the same newscasters, etc., worldwide. And so they're pretty sure themselves. Plus, they have all of academia, the worldwide, sewn up on board with this agenda. And they do know, and have written about this in the past, that it was essential to get academia on their side because they become the future leaders, bureaucrats, CEOs of corporations, and so on. So when they're all trained in the same tunnel vision of this world order, they think that the people, they call them the proles, as Orwell called them too, the proles are not even relevant. The masses don't even know what's happening, and most of them, to be honest with you, don't really care. So this has always been their standard philosophy. We saw them when they set up the communist system as a dialectic to help bring all this about, that communism was spread from the universities, from professors downwards, and that became the prevalent culture within society in the Western Hemisphere. Now they're bringing the both together, but they truly do have all the basic academic sciences on board with all of this agenda, including eugenics, including the necessity to depopulate drastically, rapidly, and also to get rid of what they see now as the useless eaters that would be left over from a previous society. They're going into the new world order with the new man and a reduced society of what they think are the better gene types. The old man now, according to the Darwinian principle, which they're all grounded on, is now obsolete and cannot be brought through into the new system.
Now, to be specific, we're not even debating whether there's evolution or whether, you know, that theory had some basis in reality. We're not debating that either or. The fact is that's their governing system through social Darwinism and eugenics, and so that's their rationale for all the horrors that they carry out, when in reality, from studying the elites, interbred, we know, causes a lot of psychotic behavior, delusions of grandeur, a lot of other behaviors. So really, we have a aberrant strain of malfunctioning humanity who are very intelligent and well-organized, but also psychopathic sociopaths and a gaggle of fellow travelers who only have certain pieces of the puzzle. And then you have all these subgroups that believe they're at the highest echelons of power when they're really in lower echelons of the pyramidal power structure, who revel, excuse me, in the raw exercise of mindless power. And that's why when you talk to these mid-level elitist and technicians and university professors that say they want to kill the majority of the public, they're that very infantile and aren't very intelligent. But if you talk to one of the higher-level globalists, they are intelligent. Can you go through that and the way this is broken down from your research in a different subgroup directives and the type of mindset of these petty power people who believe that they're members of the elite?
Yes. There's a book out there people should try and get a hold of. It's called Political Ponderology. And it's about the study of evil in mankind, something that was studied in ancient times but not so much today because they don't believe in evil or the outcomes of evil. There's always someone that benefits, therefore it's okay. That's basically the Kabbalistic form of it, which they're all on board with too. But Ponderology, this book, goes into psychopathy and how the elites in all nations, all peoples, are basically psychopathic. They rise to the top in every society because they're ruthless. They have no conscience whatsoever. They're very cunning. They have certain traits. A psychopath will feel no emotion for other people outside his own little circle or what he owns or he sees as that which he owns. But he's very good. He's like a camera who studies other people as he grows up, watching how they behave and interact. And they become tremendous salesmen. They become politicians. They do gravitate towards positions of power, but they're also sadomasochistic in their makeup. This came out at the Nuremberg trial, where studies were done on the followers, the higher followers of Hitler, and they glorified Hitler to the very end, and yet they despised the weaker officers beneath them. So that is sadomasochism. You crave, you will worship the person with more power than you have yourself, and you'll do his bidding immediately with no questions concerned, and you will despise the lessers beneath you. That is sadomasochistic, and that's a standard part of this whole system in which we live. In other words, since the creation of commerce and money and the debt system and banking and so on, and the armies that it can finance to take over other countries, seize their assets, resources, and so on, we've always had the same types gravitating to the top in all societies. In fact, history is just the stories of his stories, basically. That's what history is, of the ruling elites who gain power by being ruthless and merciless towards other people or rivals. And we have them today in an organized system. This is the problem. Now, all many subcultures, you might say nations, in fact, have their top gang at the top. Whoever is at the top of the tree in Japan, China, or wherever, is a gang. It's basically a gang with the most power, and they're all psychopathic in their origins. Today we have an international group where they've all come together, and they have been working on this for an awful long time by certain foundations pushing it and networking them all together until they're all on board. And as I say, they're all using or hiding behind the Darwinist theory of survival of the fittest, of the extinction of inferiors that have no further use. That's the theory of Darwinism. And therefore, they have concluded that they are the fittest, and they've proven their worth by gaining power, holding on to it intergenerationally, marrying the right types, because the wives are selected for them in these groups and have been for hundreds of years.
And Alan, we have, just to add a point going back, I was backing you up, you see it in the press, you see it in sociology reports, that in Washington, D.C., in New York, in London, that the most popular places for sadomasochism, and what all of the elitists, whenever they get caught in a sting or happen to get caught, it is hardcore sadomasochism.
Yes.
Whereas you or I or a normal nurturative person doesn't like that. They love it, and they love dominating or being dominated, and that interchanges, you know, normally goes mm-hmm. both ways. That really is, and then the greatest extension of that is they love to torture small children to death because, it's that great power, and they love hurting something innocent. Would you say in these interlocking, when we come back, I want to go through from your study the different gangs we have, that at the next to the highest level of the pyramid is the scientific gang, where whoever's the most cold-blooded is who is admired, and then above that is the elite families.
There's no doubt. In fact, Huxley himself went through the whole strata of the dominant minority and the scientific elite who were specially bred, including his own group, to help this dominant minority.
And then I want to get into the cloning, the designer babies already happening, the clone cows, the clone milk. They're now having to put on milk that it's cloned or it isn't cloned. I mean, where this brave new world is going, with the amazing guest, Alan Watt, on this live Friday edition. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's go right back to Alan Watt, breaking down exactly who these elite are. And again, they've written thousands of books on it, thousands of papers, and they laugh and say, look at the slave scum. They can't even read what we're saying we're going to do to them. And they say that's prima facie evidence. I've had, as you've, I know, had Alan, elitist, say, Alex, look, you tell them and they don't even listen to you. See, you need to join us. And I say, listen, I'm a nurturative person. I know what I do to others comes back on me. I you know, you people are evil. And you've helped dumb people down. You've accelerated the domestication and the institutionalization of the public. And this is a great crime against life, against our species, against humanity. And they just snicker. It's Or they act sad and go, well, you just don't know the law of nature, do you? We're just doing something inevitable. If we didn't act like this, somebody else would. Alan Watt.
Yeah, that's exactly how they rationalize it. As I say, through the Darwinian studies of different species and so on, they go down through the sea urchins and all of these things and different groups that came down through the ages. They've never found missing links, but that's not the point. The point is things go extinct. And we do have evidence of that. Different animals go extinct. So they put man in the same category, and they couch it in phases or stages of mankind, from the early types to the present type. And they truly believe that they themselves, because they're up there in academia, they're in the sciences, they have positions of power and control, they believe they're a separate species, that they have evolved. And the old types that used to work in factories and so on during the 20th century are now obsolete and have to go. And they even rationalize why they must go according to the laws of this Darwinian theory, that if the old type come into the new system, they'll overwhelm the elite who have evolved even higher and bring down that high group. That's what they truly believe. This is identical to Hinduism. Hinduism goes through this. And I think that's the connecting link between much of higher Freemasonry and this New World Order. In Hinduism, they believe there are cycles in nature that last millions of years, different phases. They call them ages. And at the end of each age, those that evolve, remember, they start from slime into amoebas and through animals, through transmigration of souls and all this kind of stuff. But eventually, they get to this advanced type. And they go on into the next wave while the old type dies off. It's identical to Darwinism. And you have to ask yourself, did Darwinism come first, or did they simply copy the Hinduistic philosophies?
Or the Babylonian mystery religions is the same thing. Transhumanists, now the low-level kind of porch transhumanists like porch masons don't know or haven't read the real dogma, but Aldous Huxley's brother, the head UN eugenicist, the head eugenicist worldwide at the time, he said, we've got to change to transhumanism. So transhumanism, the founder of it, says it is the new name for eugenics. And he says, and now they say at these big eugenics conferences, transhumanist conferences they have, or posthumanists, they say, you will take brain chips, you will evolve into the cybernetic, if we even let you, if you prove your worth, and all the rest of you will die because you're not evolving. And so, we face it on that front.
Yes, as I say, it's all out in the open today. And what's interesting, too, is their use of words or linguistics. Some call it psycholinguistics. And some of the neurosciences call it neurolinguistics. By the use of different words to cover up the same agenda that used to be called eugenics, the general population are using those new words thinking it's all okay. They can't relate it to what it used to mean. It's the same thing as having a communist society, and as long as no one at the top mentions communism, no one will see for what it really is. So we tend to get stuck on words, and we can't see beyond that. Today they call it this globalization, but it is a Sovietized world system they're bringing in. It's a communistic system they're bringing in for the masses. Now, communism or the Soviet system was created by the West. It did not originate in the Soviet Union or Russia. Its whole theory was that man was an animal that could be trained to go in any direction whatsoever through scientific means and indoctrination and using conditioned responses. They could take them to wherever they wanted them to be. Lenin himself said, we shall decide what kind of culture to give the public, which is good for the party. And if that culture becomes obsolete or doesn't serve the party, we'll then change the entire culture again. In other words, all of reality will keep changing and be updated, and the public will accept it like a computer program being upgraded. That's exactly how they're treating the public today, and unfortunately, it's working very well.
Alan Watt, long segment coming up. When we start the next hour, we'll go directly to your phone calls. If you want to get lined up, 800-259-9231. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Alan Watt. Let's get into what the establishment is doing with genetic engineering. I have interviewed and, of course, read hundreds and hundreds of news stories and reports, as I know you have, top scientists in genetic engineering who were for it until they found out that, well, I change one gene in a tomato or a potato, and it gets the change I want, but it randomly, each life cycle, changes hundreds if not thousands of things randomly and creates new amino acids, new chemicals, new components, new ring structures, new enzymes that are very, very toxic to other life forms that consume it or come in contact with it. The establishment knows that. They are testing in the open ocean new forms of chemical-eating bacteria, oil-slick-eating bacteria, which in studies they admit could start replicating and, you know, could create global red tides that could possibly kill a lot of the life in the ocean. That's, you know, one little example. Or these cross species where they put human genes in a pig so they can get heart valves out of it, or grow, which they know, which they admit they're doing, but they keep a lot of it, the details quiet for at least a decade. BBC reports humanoids, part human, part bovine, part cow, so they can grow the embryos up to full baby size so they can harvest organs. We know that's going on. Part chimpanzee, part human, human, part goat, part spider. Or they have some transgenetic organisms that have over 200 different species, plant, animal, jellyfish. They're selling on the open market, cats that glow in the dark, monkeys that glow in the dark, that have jellyfish skin. And you tell the public, they laugh and giggle and say that doesn't exist. But even though it's on the market, you know, just thousands of things randomly going on, huge facilities randomly with gene guns, firing different genetics into plants, animals, sea life, openly releasing them. You know, now there's many areas of the world more GMO salmon than there are the other salmon. They're now outcompeting them, removing them, and then they have breeding problems, and then it shows down the line have genetic problems after so many replications, after so many life cycles. I mean, there's just millions of problems. I could go on for hours. And the elite are not gods. They know this stuff can get out of control, and I have some of these quotes in Endgame, top transhumanists, top globalists saying, we don't care. In fact, if we get bored, we may just nuke the planet because of the power of killing ourselves and destroying the species forever. It's so beautiful. And Lenin said, you know, I would love to just, he would write poems about destroying the earth and killing everyone and how beautiful it would be. So really, they're not survival of the fittest. A true fittest would understand the species, have love for it, would have compassion, would be endowed, you know, that strain of our species with understanding how dangerous this all is, moving carefully with it, trying to empower everyone, trying to lift the species to a higher level peacefully, trying to colonize space instead of dumbing down, hoarding, controlling, poisoning, and endangering the entire biosphere. And that's a long 2-minute question. Specifically, you know, with that whole field of information, I see them as actually very aberrant and self-destructive, and in their own words, they admit that. So they need to be removed from power right now. They're mid-level servants who are just into the power trip of killing 90% and running things. I don't think they've studied their own master's blueprint that really, at the end of the day, they just want to kill everybody, including themselves.
It's possible, but what I've also noticed, too, for many years, is that whatever is released to the public to do with science is generally obsolete. The time we get a hold of the information, there's a much higher level of science that they can. But when you understand that Huxley himself wrote Brave New World in 1933, with all of that data to do with genes and so on, long before they really discovered the genes, we are told, they were still teaching in the 70s, the 60s and 70s in medicine, that they suspected that genes lived on chromosomes, but they couldn't prove it. And yet here's Huxley writing in 1933 about a science that had not even come in at that time in the general universities.
And mass drugging of the public and forced abortions and total control,
yes.
What they're now setting up. Go ahead.
And it's the same when you break it down to genes to do with the Human Genome Project. Basically, that thing was on the go before they were so advanced in understanding the genes. So who was telling the truth? The ones who are doing the research at the bottom and learning it all over again, or a much higher group above them that already knows all of this stuff. And what we find with the elite too, they have incredible faith, absolute faith in their own ingenuity, and with the use of science, they believe they can go on forever indefinitely. And I think that at a very high level, they've ironed all of these problems out. They talk about reseeding the planet if need be. They have warehouses, storehouses, where they have all the genes of the entire planet, of plant, insects, animal, and so on.
So they have the giant underground labyrinths that they admit they have. Lord knows what they have that we're not aware of. And so they're prepared for that. And that may be even in their plan, is to wreck everything to then rebuild it.
It could very well be. I remember watching one of the Star Trek movies. And remember, Gene Roddenberry was a member of NASA. So he
the Genesis Project. The Genesis Project,
And he was also a member of the First Earth Army to start the greening process for conservation and really to conserve humans. And so he wrote it into that. And they had one episode in one of the movie versions where they called it the Genesis Project, where they reseeded a whole planet and started it off from scratch. And these characters didn't dream up this stuff. They already had plans to do this kind of thing if they needed to do it on planet Earth itself. And I am certain that if by some fluke they don't get their way, because they do hold all the powers or the reins of power across the planet today, if they don't get their way, they will have something up their sleeves where they would go ahead and pull this off, because they truly have utter faith in their own ability and acquired knowledge of sciences that's hidden from the public. We, as I say, we get obsolete stuff at the bottom level. That's why they call it research. It's been done before at a higher level. So,
we'll take Ian Fleming. I mentioned this yesterday. In the early 50s, he writes his second book, James Bond, Moonraker, where the elite are going to kill everybody, go to a space station, and then come back and after the biological weapons killed everyone and reseat with the eugenic superculture. This is a high-level MI6 agent, OSS agent. And then now their newest James Bond is where there's a fake global environmental group using fake carbon taxes to bring in a world tyranny. They're just flaunting it in our face.
Yes, they are flaunting it in our face. And it's interesting, the World Wildlife Fund has what they call three arcs on the planet. One of them is in Louisiana. And in there they have cryogenics with, again, every possible gene from every possible animal, insect, etc. in those particular arcs. And they said, and this program is a public broadcasting program with a professor who's in charge of that particular one arc, she said there's three, that this will be used if anything happened to planet Earth. They can reseed the planet with everything that they have there. And they've tested this stuff out. They have brought ovum and sperm together from different creatures, and they've inserted them into other types of creatures and successfully brought them to term. So they can literally breed any kind of animal or even a human inside another animal if need be and bring it to term after being stored in cryogenics for who knows how long.
So we're talking about dolphins with human brains or just it's endless. Well, I agree with what you just said. I believe that well, we know that they're at least 30, 40 years ahead, and that's exponential. And so that's why they're so arrogant now. In the time frame, how do you see them with the soft kill weapons? They've already turned up the ambient background with the soft kill weapons, with the cancer viruses, with the barium and aluminum spraying on the public, with their operations worldwide. Go through the next 10 years and then out, and I understand this is a projection from your deep research, but I've done my separate research, and that's what I'm always so impressed with, is that you're always on the same line and even bring it further in many cases. That's why we're so honored to have you, Alan, and I just really respect your intellect and research on this, because I've come to the same organic analysis as you are here with my discernment. And discernment's really just your full mind capacity, the electrochemical computer you have, listeners, integrating all the information. And of course, their own statements. Break down specifically when you believe they'll start mass plagues or smaller plagues to get us herded into cities, to train us to live under total control, and into more of a THX-1138 type system, rats in the cage, And then when do the mass calls come? And will they use neutron bombs, as the Ministry of Defense says they may, or will they use special race-specific weapons, blaming it on imaginary terror groups in caves? And how will these phases unfold, and in what time frame for the, I always said 80% extermination, that's in the public documents. Now they're in the newest documents saying, well, really, it's 99%. We just told our underlings 80%. It's really we're going to kill 99% of people. So go ahead.
Yes. When you go into the records of the think tanks that advise NATO, for instance, and the U.S. Military as well, they're identical. They're all identical, all the projections for the future. And this starts really with a statement right after 9/11, 2001, where they said this will be a 100-years war. And everyone was shaking their head saying, well, why would it take 100 years to finish off the Middle East? They weren't talking about the Middle East. They were talking about a long-term strategy plan for the entire planet. And these think tanks, in their own records, will always use history. They'll tell you where they get their ideas from. They go back into the Middle Ages, where they had plagues rampaging across the whole of Europe. But during those plague times, too, when many people were dying, millions of people died, they also had incredible wars going on at the same time. And the effects on the general populations were studied even then, often by monks who did the documentation, to see the effects on the public, who were truly mind-bombed. They were so afraid that the plague was going to get them, so much so they'd allow armies to march through and pillage their food from them and their livestock, etc. And so when you see what they've dreamed up in their documentation as a projection for the next 30 to 100 years for the military, it ties right in with that. They say that they expect starting around 2010, 2012, we will be a global society de facto. It will be signed into law. But then the plagues are coming. They expect them to come. So we'll have plagues just like the Middle Ages, pandemics. Now, pandemics are ideal for bringing down a population of even the whole world, but not too suddenly, because a pandemic can be contained within an area. It can die off and reappear 2 or 3 years later and kill off more in the same area. So it's a long-term takedown. That way, the people who are alive can bury the dead. It's not untidy. They're all out of sight, etc. So we clean up our own mess as we die off. And at the same time, they expect there's going to be massive food shortages, which they had, again, in the Middle Ages. And in the Middle Ages, where you had various armies competing with each other and kings for power in different countries, you're going to have a global society here where the people will be revolting for lack of food because the food supply of the world is now tied up into about five corporations' hands. And we know the United Nations, under their own mandate, and the Department of Agriculture say that they will be responsible for doling out the food to every nation. And part of that will be to keep down the populations. If your population increases, they will not increase the food supply. But what you're going to find is once they give you a quota for maximum population, the next year they're going to down that quota again. Say, well, we know we told you this, but what they bring, there's not enough food to go around, so you have to bring down your population. So each country, it'll be up to them to bring down their numbers one way or another. And at the same time this is happening, you're going to have a world military managing the riots to do with food primarily and lack of necessities and medicines and so on. And they're prepared to use neutron bombs. So it's an update of the Middle Ages that they're bringing into effect. It worked then, and it will. They believe it will work again. And they believe that by the year 2030, we'll pretty well be all died off one way or another. Most of us apparently are sterile already, or almost so. And they believe then that China will start to decline massively, because even now, I think their population is two to three males to every one female, because they're encouraging infanticide there mainly on the female, and therefore they themselves will start to decline. And because once they're on the westernized food and the inoculations, they will also start to become sterile. So within another, say, 2030 to 2050, 2060, the population of China will be drastically reduced as well. So this is how they see the whole plan working out. And then they tie in the transhumanism, agenda where they'll bring out a new type to serve them, no doubt grow their own food for those who are left, for the elites themselves, natural food, of course, but a new type of human who will give them no problems whatsoever. They'll be manufactured humans with no ability to think as a separate individual. They'll be a type of herd animal or hive animal, as they call it in their own words, and they'll be very, very efficient. And they can also be programmed to do different jobs because they'll also be part cyborg. That's really what they believe at the top. And this is through all the records of academia to do with transhumanism.
That's what I wanted to add. They are, and we'll continue, they're sucking the youth in. And the Army said this, as you know, decades ago, declassified in 2001, no, 2000 in February. They said, we're going to use hype, video games, culture to literally get the young people to want to be wireheads, and then they'll rebel against mom and dad and say, hey, there's a law, I'm allowed to be augmented. And then the Washington Post admits that the corporations are getting the children ready to rebel, the teenagers, to take the augmentation. And then now one of the most famous video game company owners and inventors came out and said, yeah, soon you'll need to be augmented with chips in your body to even play our game. And the young people are already in their Sims reality. They're, you know, 20 million people in World of Warcraft. This is their reality. And so they're already being inserted into it. And the Army said, we're going to use Xboxes now, the very platform to have the teenagers fly our Predator drones. And so they'll just sit there having fun, dehumanizing, killing people, playing real games on an Xbox platform. Mm-hmm. Hooked into the Predator drones, and then now they're at the malls with these huge video game displays, the Army, that's in the news today, all over the country, showing them simulated battle attacks or recordings of it, of real attacks, to teach them how much fun it is to be involved there piloting the robotic craft. And the entire military, by 2012, with the aircraft, the attack craft, is converting into drones. And then, of course, the humans are phased out because a tiny elite can then program the entire military apparatus that is serviced in these giant aircraft carrier-sized land-based, ground-based, air-based repair centers that are robotic, with basic human technicians that upkeep it, to where the elite can just punch a button and launch giant attacks against countries, and it won't matter if the troops even said no. So literal godlike powers now being seeded into the hands of the elite. Alan Watts, stay there. We're going to come back and get into the carbon footprint, the social youth brigades that are going to be in all your homes, just the absolute enslavement.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecolablue.com. Ecolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call Ecola Blue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs,
As the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit gardeninacan.com today. That's gardeninacan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul.
I'm sorry to some out there who are laughing at us right now, who've been neutralized psychologically by the controllers, because your own false identity that you've had constructed for you is what you believe is your intellect or your being is a false construct, so you can't go against who you believe you are. You have to deny what we're saying. It's all documented because you feel like your own enslavement is your soul. That's very sad because we need to try to avert this. We need to try to reverse this. We have a limited window in time, in my opinion, to reverse what's happening. Alan Watt, digressing for a moment, do you think we are in that limited window? I mean, and I want to get into solutions later, and then B, continuing with the phasing out of humanity.
I think we're well underway. We didn't know that we were being sterilized until the reports came out. The reports I've had for 50 years started to leak out, so we get the news 50 years later. This is how things are done. We're the last to be told any truth, or at least even the effects of the truth. And they're well on their way to their objective. We're watching them go through this financial nonsense. This is the power of the purse, the last thing to be used to unite the whole planet. And because we're all on the one economic system, we know no other way. This is all we've been given. This is all we can remember for thousands, a couple of thousand years. There seems to be no way out of it. So the power of the purse is going to force everyone along into the next phase of control. Money is used, remember, mainly as a tool by the elites. They don't need money. They already own everything, technically. They don't have to carry cash with them or even credit cards. Doors open wherever they go. But money is the trick to control the people and to get us to work along with their system, for their system. Eventually, they won't even need that. But part of the phase on the way to the elimination of money for their brave new world will be a credit system that will come in for every citizen. And Bertrand Russell talked about this back in the 1950s, where the government, in collusion with the banks, will directly give you into your account every week a deposit, which you cannot save up. So it starts at the same figure every Monday. And if you go against the system, you don't behave in a certain way, whatever, they will hold back your credits, you can't pay your rent, and so on. And this is going to be used as a form of social control. So we see with this present government-bank merger system that's coming in, that's right on with the agenda, and the government will eventually be right into your account, and they will use it as a tool to control you. If you've been a bad boy, no more money for a few weeks until you bend the knee. And this is coming in, and I'm certain this is what's going to come out of this whole globalized monetary system they're bringing in right now.
And again, they create all the crises. They release the biological agents, then they offer the solution. They engineer the economic crisis, they offer the solution. They slip in the Chinese slave goods out of China, and then they say, okay, we passed a law that nobody in America can weave clothes for their children, and we're banning any production in textiles in the U.S. or anywhere else unless it's certified by the government. which then knocks out all the good clothes made properly to where we can only have the GMO cotton and the bad stuff from India and China. I mean, it's all happening. We see them raiding watermelon farms that are selling watermelons, or raiding people selling milk, or raiding people selling eggs. They're obsessed with shutting down any grassroots agrarian self-sufficient societies, which shows that's one of their weak points, isn't it?
It is one of their weak points, indeed, yes.
Back in 70 seconds, Alan, let's talk about that and talk about solutions and things we can do to fight this. And I want to get into chemtrails with you and our carbon footprint, how that's going to be controlled. And then we'll go to your phone calls, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour, straight ahead. All right, final hour on this final broadcast of this week, first week of the new year. We're back live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. And, of course, next week for a few of the days, Jason Burmes is here in town. He'll be sitting in with a lot of important and informative guests coming up. Now, I want to go back to Alan Watt. Alan, we've been having riveting, informative discussion here. People that say we're being negative, we're not. It's like looking out your window and seeing a storm coming in. Somebody says, what's the weather? Oh, a storm's coming in. Oh, don't be negative. All we're doing is covering the facts here, the reality. You alluded about 15 minutes ago to the carbon footprint, the allotted amount of creds you'll have on your card. All of this is admitted. You know, even if you, quote, have wealth, you won't be able to spend it because it'll be past your carbon footprint. And then, of course, that will all be selectively enforced. I mean, this is the total controlled society with the technology to try to carry it out. So can you speak more about life under the carbon footprint, which they're now bringing in? Obama says you'll have weekly, monthly visits to your farm, your home. You'll get special permits to do any changes to your house. Cows, $170 tax, soda, you know, but then all foods, satellite boxes in all your cars, taxing you as you drive. They're now saying it all, everything we warned people about that was in the planning documents we saw decades ago. We're now here in this continuum from the early elites forming and the scientific dictatorship several thousand years ago to now. How far along on that continuum towards what they believe is their end game are we? Are we 80% there, 90% there?
I think we're probably 90% there. That's why it is in the open now, and they're not really concerned. They have all of the classes they need. It's mainly academia on their side. They fund so many of the big corporations, even with the bailouts, the corporations must do as they're told as well and go along with this. Everyone is being paid off, bought off, or simply blackmailed to go along with this whole agenda, and it's the academia does it willingly. So they're not bothered about the general public whatsoever. In fact, the general public are still watching all the trivia that's doled out to them, as they said they'd do, to keep them happy and entertained. But you're quite right with this whole carbon thing. See, man is the problem, according to them. There's too many of us. And everything that we need or use gives off carbon in the manufacturing, even down to creating a house for you to live in is a problem. And that's another way they're getting people off the land. They started voluntary programs to come in and test your house from the government. The government put so much money towards you, re-insulating it, etc., and that scheme was to get us all used to the idea of government coming in and testing our houses to see if they were worthy enough to stand up or be knocked down. And eventually that will become mandatory. They want the people off the land, according to Agenda 21, the United Nations program, into these big overcrowded cities. And that's where they plan to contain us. That ties right in with why they have not been upgrading the main cities for many, many years. They're in a mess. The roads are a mess. They admitted in Toronto, for instance, that it would be almost cheaper to build a brand new city than to fix the sewage systems, the roads, and so on, than to be easier to start from scratch. In other words, they don't intend to maintain those cities. These have to be simply to contain the public for a period of 30 to 40 years until the public are pretty well all dead and gone. Now, the whole carbon idea came up from a big think tank that works with all the other big think tanks, well-funded, interconnected with them, and that's the Club of Rome. And the founders of the Club of Rome wrote a book in the 1990s But they said in the 1970s they were the ones that came up with the idea to unite the planet under and claim that mankind was having a war on the Earth itself, and therefore man was the problem. And they came up with the whole idea of the carbon.
And it's a sick joke because we're a carbon-based life form. Everything on this planet is carbon-based. And they're saying it's going to be a toxic waste, but all their genetic engineering, all their toxic waste dumping, that's okay. It's only carbon dioxide and other gases that come off of life forms, which is all part of the life cycle. They're waging war on the life cycle itself and saying they're going to micromanage and tax every facet. The power to tax is the power to destroy. It is a tax on the life-giving gas itself.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Going to your phone calls here in just a few minutes. Before I do that, I wanted to give Alan a little time to talk about any issues he thinks are most important instead of just my questions and our analysis back and forth. Before we do that, I want to tell you who's made this show possible today, and these are great products that I fully endorse, use, and believe in. Number one is Akola Blue. Akola Blue is just an amazing, high-quality atmospheric water generator for the home. Pays for itself with 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure, clean water without the fluoride. Unlimited water from the humidity in the air. Machine produces up to 28 liters of water in 24 hours, 7.5 gallons. That's their smaller unit. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. And then it goes through an activated carbon filter, then a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system, then a taste and food removal filter, and is stored in a tank illuminated by antibacterial fungal UV light. ECOLOBlue.com. It's up on screen at prisonplanet.tv. ECOLOBlue.com or 866-585-4044. 866-585-4044. Akola Blue. Absolutely fabulous, folks. And we surely hope that you'll check them out today. Another great sponsor is eFoodsDirect.com, the J. Michael Stevens Group, the highest quality storable foods for the price out there, no GMO foods. They have a lot of videos, free videos you can watch or audios you can listen to at the website, eFoodsDirect.com. And you need to give them a call because self-sufficiency is the key. And if you're buying seeds, moving to the country, gearing up to be self-sufficient, moving out of the cities, which I think is advisable for those that can, to face what's coming, may not even have time. This is something you can have now that you know is a backup, lasts more than 10 years in climate control, 10 years in non-climate control. eFoodsDirect.com, the letter E, foodsdirect.com, or 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. Again, eFoodsDirect.com. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. Okay, Alan Watt, you want to continue with carbon footprint. Finishing what you were trying to say before we got cut off by break. And then the chemtrails overall, I'm looking at satellite photos on the major weather sites. I'm looking at the whole world now, and I've gone back, because they have archives, as you know, but the listeners may not, of the skies 5, 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't there. Now, not just the major cities like 5 years ago, but all over the U.S., all over Europe, all over Australia, but even some in third world countries, but it's mainly in the West. It's just covered with the trails. They're now at a couple thousand feet in Austin. They stay there for hour after hour. Everybody's getting sick. Major news media has been testing it and finding barium salts, weird fibers, aluminum oxide, all of this. So I'd like you to speak to the chemtrails as well.
Yes. Get back to the footprints, the carbon ones. They're adding taxes onto air flights now, too. Because the future you see, they're going to ban basically tourism. That will be no longer necessary. You won't be able to travel to any country without it being required for business or work-related. That's the system they're bringing in.
And that'll all be selectively enforced. When you go travel places, you see, I'll never forget that. I'm going to let you continue, but you just bring up points. About 15 years ago, before I was even on air, I was out at Hamilton Pool, this cenote, this caved-in underground cave, you know, beautiful, looks like something out of Tarzan, deep water, big snapping turtles and fish, and I was playing hooky from college, and I was there with a girlfriend laying out on the pebbles, you know, on a summer day, and these Nature Conservancy people showed up, and then they were making eugenics comments and going, I can't believe they allow people even here. I can't believe they even allow humans here. And they were just looking at us with anger. And then suddenly you saw the park rangers acting like that and this whole culture that we've got to be controlled and herded into cities. So I just wanted to add that point that we're not even under the official UN plans going to be allowed in more than half of the United States on their maps alone. You will be shot if you enter it. And people didn't believe me. And then in 1999, I'll never forget, I don't remember the exact issue. I showed it on my local TV show many times and covered it on air for like a month. It was talking about an area in Asia. I want to say Burma. And it said huge national, international biosphere, UN World Heritage Sites, hundreds of thousands of acres were off limits, and it showed soldiers with M16s, and it said, if the locals try to enter to even get water or even get firewood, they are shot. And so that model's already going. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. And getting back to the housing, they will be coming around the houses and testing it for leakage, because if you can't heat your house efficiently and contain the heat and use very little fuel, etc., they're basically going to kick you out of that home.
Banning fireplaces, banning space heaters already in Europe, moving to do that in Canada. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, so that's the whole agenda. So through the force of law and using the power of the purse, as I call it, they'll force this whole agenda through.
Cars, airplanes, farms, ranches, space heaters, homes, food, every facet, micromanaged and taxed.
Yes, absolutely. That's the big stick, and people... We've been trained from birth to always go along with laws, and don't question it. Everyone else goes along with the law, so why can't you? That's what they say to you if you object.
Well, take the animal ID. Take the animal ID. I mean, it's just so incredible. They just mail them around to people. It wasn't even a law except in two states, federal, and they just say, fill out this contract and sign it. And they sign away their farm and ranch, and now they're finding out they just gave the government an easement and control.
That's correct. So what we're up against here is such incredible organization. That's what really hits anyone who goes into this field of study and research. The incredible organization that's micromanaged right down to the lowest level on every particular area or facet of living, that's what strikes you as overwhelming. And it isn't until you realize this has been on the go for such a long time that explains why they're all interconnected. When Margaret Thatcher left as the Prime Minister of Britain, she said that she now belonged to the parallel government. She called it the parallel government that's made up of ex-prime ministers, presidents, and high officials of all countries. She says, we really run the show. And I just noticed today that Tony Blair and Merkel is over there with Sarkozy talking about this new economic system they're bringing in. So Tony Blair, even though he's an ex-prime minister, is doing more behind the scenes than he could possibly do when he was the front man as the prime minister. He belongs to the parallel government.
He's now graduated to the real government.
Yes.
Which itself takes orders while the public's focused on the front dummy puppets. And I meant to get to that story. It's up on Infowars.com right now. They're saying a new capitalism with what you said 30 minutes ago, where the government pays all the corporations who in turn pay the people total control.
Right. That's correct. So therefore, government will achieve the objective it was set up to do a long time ago, where they'll be into your personal account, and it will be used as a control factor on what you do, where you go, what you spend your money on. In fact, they can take fines right out of your bank account if you break some carbon law or whatever.
Finland's been doing that for 16, 17 years, where your parking ticket is according to how much money you have, and if you're wealthier, they take more. It's a class thing they did to sell the public. But now it's for carbon footprint, and everything you buy and sell is tracked, and they compare that, and they say it's the world model according to how much money you make, so they can tell if you're not paying taxes or have a black market job.
That's correct. They're making refrigerators now that will read every item that's put in that fridge, and literally it can get in touch with the supermarket to reorder, but it can also obviously get in touch with the government and let them know everything that you have. They will know if all that you have food-wise comes from your ration, your quota, and if you're above that, they'll want to know where you got it from.
Yes, it reads the RFID, and they're by law they're trying to make it where all refrigerators will have this within 5 years. And then now this big Masonic hospital organization, I saw the story 2 weeks ago, where the old people, if they aren't eating enough food or it's scanning their food, they go ahead and come and, you know, take them away to be put in a home or hospice. And then they're also going to track with the school lunch program where you swipe your card. They're already CPSing children because even if they bring their own lunch, it has to be entered in. And then they say, you weren't feeding your child healthy food. We're taking them.
That's right. And getting back to this parallel government, I mean, Professor Carl Quigley talked about this in his book Tragedy and Hope and the Anglo-American Establishment, two books. He said that the parallel government runs with technocrats. Now, Blair now is a technocrat like Brzezinski or Maurice Strong or Kissinger. And he said that the prime ministers and presidents can take the heat for the policies of government, he says, but the real work is done behind the scenes with technocrats who are not responsible to the public. They're not elected by the public.
His whole life, Blair's whole life, Clinton's whole life, they finally graduate into real government.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it now. And I mean, why is the media even so concentrated on ex-prime ministers and ex-presidents? It's out in the open now that they are part of this important parallel government, this interlinked, interwoven completely with all of the big foundations that all work in concert. They're all on the same agenda. And they even have foundations which go out to make sure there's consensus building within every organization. So they're all on board, on track, with the same politically correct agendas.
Simply stunning, Alan Watt. Briefly, chemtrails, they seem to be intensifying.
They are intensifying. I noticed it in Ontario when they really started hitting us in 10 years ago, exactly, in fact, it was. And they were much lower at the time. It was all over the sky. The scary part is that most people didn't even see this. It was much, much lower. There were wide, thick trails, maybe 10 planes at a time. And the average person that watches TV and is dumbed down thought nothing of it. But we this goes back to how we're always years behind what they tell us. It's only now they're saying we're thinking of seeding the air with chemicals to curb global warming. Well, they've been doing something for 10 years, and I don't think it's got anything to do with global warming. In fact, those who watch this notice that when they heavily spray an area, it heats up underneath because the tiny refractors in the metals act like mirrors.
Now, they're trying to heat. They're trying to heat. And I think they knew the sun was about to cool off, and I'm not saying they're good, but they actually need to heat the earth. Then they're trying to restrict carbon. Alan Watt, let's finish up with chemtrails, then go right to calls. Michael, Joe, Bill, Mark, Michelle, Michael, Danny, and others. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I don't know how anybody out there watching couldn't visit InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com 5-6 times a day and spread the word. I mean, the stories here. Obama's energy czar, socialist agent for a new world order. Air Force creates counter blog response to plan and quell dissent inside the United States. Openly targeting propaganda against the American people. The Marines announced publicly yesterday, yes, we're going to fight the American people. I didn't even cover that article where they're announcing they're going to engage in combat in America, not even against Al-Qaeda, which they claimed, the American people. It is just unbelievable, the type of things. And things are going so fast now, Alan, you and I can hardly even respond to all of it. And everything we said is happening because we were just reading the Globalist Own documents before they were widely disseminated.
Yes, that's the whole trick of it. The public have been, unfortunately, well trained with scientific indoctrination. The television is not something to be entertained with. It's the greatest tool the elite have ever had. You can't listen to truth and think about the truth and dissect it for yourself and switch on the TV and get lost for an hour on some other topic. Because whatever you're learning is going to be eradicated from your mind. It is a scientific tool. It's been put to an incredible effect. But they're also doing, they're going into the ELF warfare techniques now that Brzezinski talked about in his book Between Two Ages. He mentioned the technotronic era in that book. And the technotronic era was a technique that would be used on the general population. He meant worldwide. Where they get their opinions and ideas coming to them, but they'd have no idea where it was coming from. And he was talking about really ELF technology. And they are putting up antennas in some of the big cities. I've got photographs here, some of them in in the process of being built, in fact, and they have their own transponders down below. And these things are unlike the ones they use for cell phones, and I think this is all part of the network to control the minds of the public. Now, this stuff is well proven. It works very well. It can put you into a state of apathy or aggression or depression or aggression very easily.
By the way, a mainstream publication 2 weeks ago came out, and it's been in the Baltimore Sun as well, and said DARPA has these ultrasound alone can calm you or make you angry, and they said we're going to start doing this for the public.
That's right.
We're just going to put towers up, and you know, but it's to fight Al-Qaeda, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is, they're actually going ahead and building them and putting them up in preparedness for the times ahead, which will
Alan, what are we going to do when a cop shoots an unarmed man in the back on the ground? We've got to turn these on and calm everybody down, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the whole. That you see, again, it goes back to this whole idea that we're just animals and there's nothing spiritual about you. You have no soul, no nothing. You're just a contained brain. And they call it endless loops inside your own brain. That's what they teach in university.
And they also give us doublethink. They go, well, all these people die when they get tasered, but that's just a syndrome. People just happen to die at the same time they're tasered. It's not the taser.
Yes.
Now they might say...
are allergic to it, you see.
Yeah. Well, now when we shoot you, maybe it's a syndrome. Maybe the bullet didn't do it.
That's it. That's right. And so they can rationalize, and they are. They're using every kind of rationalization, almost mockingly today, to justify what they can do, because they're given all power. They know they have all power to do as they wish. They've raised a generation that's willing to use all of these this technology and weaponry on the public. They've been brought up playing the video games. There's no morality in a video game. It's get to the other side and kill it.
And they condition us with all the violence they constantly show on TV to accept it. And this segment's almost over. I want to come back and go directly to calls. You got cut off on the last segment with the chemtrail comments. Go ahead.
Yes, the chemtrails will tell you. It probably has many, many different functions, I'm sure. It definitely makes people apathetic and tired. That's been well noted. And I've been watching this for years, and talking to hundreds of people over the years on it, where they're heavily sprayed. And as you say, the fallout, the physical fallouts, even in the bronchial tubes and the long-lasting infections, etc., are well noted. Every pharmacist in the country knows what his best-selling products are. Go in and ask the pharmacist, and he'll tell you it's the bronchodilators and expectorants and so on, and antibiotics that are really being pushed for the last 10 years. To do with this spraying. He might not mention the spraying, he might not know himself, but he knows what he sells off the shelves. And so the ones at the top who advocated this, they treat us like children. They call us children. You cannot tell the children what we're doing to them. It's for their own benefit, poor souls, but we don't want to scare them. They know, probably right down to the smallest iota, how many people will die off with this, with respiratory problems.
And then we call it allergies. People who never had them suddenly can't breathe or sick all the time. Suddenly, I saw a report last year that women's lung cancer is up 7 times what it was a decade ago. And they go, that's all right. We'll have a little cancer group for you and make you feel like you're a little movie star. Now you're going to die and go in a coffin. Bye-bye. We love you. We'll be right back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, Alan, cutintothematrix.com is his website. Be sure and check out the audios, the materials, the videos, things that are available there. And be sure and support Alan Watt and the work he's doing. Be sure and support our work as well and all the documentary films that I have made. I've made 20 of them and produced another. Actually produced 2, Fabled Enemies and Loose Change, Final Cut. Fabled Enemies is the latest 9/11 film, and we learn more as time goes on. This is an open and shut case about how the establishment carried out the attacks. The Money Masters, how the bankers got total control, 3.5-hour film, 1995. really the Rosetta Stone of understanding the overall in-game agenda. If I had to say you see one film to understand their total agenda and their program, this film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The 9/11 Chronicles, Truth Rising. This is the latest film I made, and I just can't even describe the film. You've got to see it. I mean, it's cinema verite. It's fast-paced. It 30, 40 world leaders confronted, Willie Nelson interviewed, Martin Sheen interviewed, George Carlin interviewed. I mean, the list just goes on and on to try to describe everything that is in this film. Bill Clinton confronted, David Rockefeller confronted, John McCain, Barack Obama, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just an incredible film. The 9/11 Chronicles, folks, need to have this documentary. Again, available at Infowars.com, and Alan Steff's all available at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I want to go to your calls now for those that have been patiently holding for the balance of this Friday edition and try to move quickly through them. I appreciate everybody being patient. Let's talk to Michael in Chicago. You're on the air with Alan Watt. Michelle, excuse me, I read that wrong. Michelle in Chicago, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good.
I'm a first-time caller. I've probably woke up maybe about 2 years ago, started watching the 9/11 films, and I was a big watcher of TV before, and now that I'm seeing it after waking up to everything that's going on, it's so obvious the brainwashing that these people are broadcasting to everybody, and it's just so disheartening to watch it happen and listen to them mock truthers as conspiracy theorists and just dismiss everything that they're saying and make it into a big joke. And it's such a ridiculous thing that the media is so ridiculous that people just don't pay attention to it. And they're apathetic, and they just don't care.
But that's what they mean at a certain level of programming. That's why they came out and said that the number two in Al Qaeda had been killed 14 separate times
and never paid attention.
And then never retracted. Okay,
no.
Well, last time we didn't really kill him, but this time we did. People don't even care.
They don't even remember what happened 2 years ago.
But
all they care about is the current stats that are going on right now. All these election things, they don't talk about the issues. They talk about the numbers.
But the point
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I want to get Alan's take on this. I've just noticed they do this. They're making the propaganda ridiculous to make people almost tune out and then just disregard all information where it's all just kind of a background noise. Alan, what do you call that tactic?
It works with dystopia, they call it, where they do almost mind-bomb you with conflicting reports until you don't trust your own logic anymore. That's part of the process. Most people will simply switch off to any further news on that topic. In fact, they'll switch right out. And that's a technique that's used in neuroscience on the public, yeah.
Yeah, they did that with rats and then higher primates. And I had a Marine call in. I was familiar with a study where they take a puppy and shock it on a plate, and it's got its food. Every time it goes to the food, it shocks it. And finally, it just rolls over and waits to die.
Yeah, so whenever it mentions the same topic again, you'll just automatically say, well, you're paranoid, you're a conspiracy theorist. And abelia is a main one, too. It's no memory. People have no memory, and they think in bits and bytes. Little clips on the media come in short bursts now, and that's the attention span of most people. They can't concentrate.
They've reduced it by design. Anything else, Michelle?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you, Alex. You're very brave, to say the least.
Listen, this is not a figure of speech, Michelle. I'm not brave now, ma'am. I'm just doing my job. Literally, I'm not brave. How would I not discover a scientific technocracy that is completely psychopathic and enjoys destroying my species and my children's future? How would I not aggressively fight it with everything I've got and try to build some media system to at least counter it? I mean, how would I would be mindlessly brave if I knew this and just said, forget it. Alan, can you speak to that?
It's true. I mean, every animal on the planet, even insects, will try and defend themselves. A mouse will actually scratch the nose of a cat rather than just get eaten or to save its young. And we have the same abilities here, only we've been so dumbed down and made to be apathetic. This is, again, a scientific technique of indoctrination, of abeyance to authority, that we allow them to take the next step and the next step to our own extinction. And we can't allow that to happen. We can't allow it to happen. We have the right to exist on this planet as much as anyone who believes he's an elitist does. And they are no more valued than we are. That's a fact.
And I appreciate your call, Michelle. I'd love to keep you on longer. I love all these callers. We've got to get to everybody who at least is holding. That is the basic facts of this, what Alan just said. And they have taught us to not have our survival instinct or to turn it on and off. When they say turn it off, it's not okay to stand up and fight back. Like in England where they arrest you, if somebody's raping your wife and you punch them, you go to jail, the rapist doesn't. That's on record. Or if somebody's robbed you three times, they come in to kill you, you stab them, you go to jail. Or if you push somebody out a window and they're attacking you, you go to jail. They're saying you are not to protect yourself because it's a criminal class running things they want. I mean, it's kind of like when you some really expensive snakes, they amputate the guinea pig's legs and defang it, you know, take its teeth out so it can't bite the snake when the snake eats it because they don't want the snake to be hurt. Or they'll drug the guinea pig with a drug that doesn't affect the snake so the guinea pig doesn't hurt it. We've been neutralized to be like a guinea pig. It's had its eyes gouged out, its teeth pulled out, its legs cut off, dropped into the snake. And that's what this social Darwinism is. And that's what carbon taxing is, teaching us we're bad. They take our own survival instinct and say, if the Earth's going to survive, we've got to kill ourselves. They're teaching us our own survival system. Our own survival propulsion system is a thought crime.
They are, and I was reading an article recently from the United Nations about the idea of power and total power, where they say that eventually the world governmental system will be the only authorized authority that can legally use violence. And that's what it's all about. So anyone beneath that, all your family squabbles and so on, or robbers coming into your house, that just happens amongst the animals. You're all animals. We see you as one big mass. And therefore, we can't allow you to use violence yourself.
And they call that the power monopoly of force.
That's right. Yeah.
That's in a Unidair document, July 7th, 2001, where they said that's why the American people must be armed. And the bill has been introduced by the Democrats. Barack Obama, if they pass it, is set to sign it, where the Attorney General can ban any and all guns simply by uttering the word ex cathedra. Literally is God Emperor. I mean, this, you can't make it up. It's up on Infowars.com now in the News and Focus archive, or featured story archive. Let's go to another caller here. This isn't a drill, folks. This is for real. This is happening. Let's go ahead and talk. Joe hung up. Bill in Illinois and then others. Bill, you're on the air with Alan Watt.
Hi, gentlemen. I was hoping that we could just roll into the weekend and give people some hope. I know that all the information that comes out is really paralyzing and scary to most people, but the more you dive into it and see what's going on and try to wake people up and knock them out of their comas, I'm seeing a groundswell of people waking up in the Chicagoland area, and everybody is being laid off. They're trying to figure out how they're going to make rent or put food on the table, and now's the time when people are paying attention. And now's the time where we can all start to organize and provide solutions and start a blog or make videos or pass out your DVDs and get people to be aware.
Well, I agree, but here's an analogy, and we'll get Alan's comment and then let you counter-comment. If someone is taking this information we're giving as paralyzing, they shouldn't. The establishment, through chemicals, through the media, through the television, through the culture, because then we pick up the propaganda and regurgitate, then that gives it, with the pheromone activation, you know, in the true third dimension, the reality trigger in the mind. But that gets into some more sophisticated issues that I've seen. We have to understand that it's like they've given us a big shot of a sedative, okay? And then this show is literally a shot of adrenaline where you're laying on a railroad tracks. You've been shot up full of Thorazine. You can't get up. Alan Watt and I are coming in with adrenaline going, to where you can actually get up and get off the track. And so we're just telling you the full truth, folks, so you know what you're facing. Okay? Because if people are being paralyzed by this, I mean, I don't know about you in my life, but, I mean, Alan, when somebody starts swinging at you, I don't feel paralyzed. I go into gear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you must do. Again, this is a war, and when you realize it is a war strategy, and you're in it, whether you like it or not, then you have to fight back with all that you can do. no matter what it is, and don't be overwhelmed by it. This has been on the go before we were born, and when you realize it's always a long-term system, long-term goals, then you're still in the battle. It's not over until the fat lady sings. And
yeah, you can't opt out of this. You can't opt out of this. You were born into this.
Yes, and what you have to do, too, is realize those things which are paralyzing you, those things which are numbing your brain, like the television, and stop watching it, start reading, getting into the factual information that it is put out by the authorities themselves. You can find the stuff. It's all over the place. And realize this is all very, very real. What can I do? And start doing something. I started off handwriting stuff and photocopying stuff and sending it out to hundreds of people who had a voice when I had none. That's the sort of thing that you have to do. You have no option but to do something. You are an active combatant in this system, whether you like it or not, because the elite have declared war upon you.
Well, that's what I do. I try to bring people that I respect and I think have information that's needed to this large platform, the biggest in alternative media. And that's why this platform is so precious, folks, and why we need your financial support. Because we're trying to do, you know, this isn't a very big operation compared to the establishment. It's tiny. But compared to the Liberty Movement, this is about as big and as strong as it gets. And it's very expensive. And so please buy the books and videos, donate. I'm glad to see that the auction there is over $45,000 for the bullhorn. I had no idea it would go that high. But that is very, very exciting. Doesn't close out till next Wednesday night, so we'll see what happens with that. But, sir, go ahead. Anything else you wanted to add there briefly, Bill? I agree with you. Now is the time that people are finally, while the New World Order is finally emerging, and by the way, Governor Blagojevich has been impeached by the Illinois House, and he faces trial now in the Senate. Go ahead.
Alex, I was just going to add that, and I've said this before, the old saying of we are the ones we've been waiting for. I thank you. You guys actually had posted some of my videos on your site this week, and I encourage people to check out How to Stop the New World Order. It's Alex and David Icke giving you some information. It's hard-hitting, and hopefully it'll inspire you to get off your butt and to start becoming
thank
an
you.
Active
thank
member.
Thank you, sir. Got to move on to other callers. Thank you. Let's go ahead and take another one here. Let's talk to Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex, and hello to you, and hello to Alan. Alex, I want to just mention quickly, as a quick aside here to my main body of my call, really, if you can, I would urge you to have another money bomb as soon as possible. I figure you probably got a very limited amount of artifacts there, which would probably all auction very well. But if that be the case, perhaps that will take the place of a money bomb for a time. But whatever it takes, Alex, in order for you to be able to do your job unhindered by lack of funds at this point, because they're really up in the ante faster than, well, like you say, sometimes it takes your breath away these days. They're moving so fast. And they are pulling everything off the shelf at one time, using it all at one time in order to overwhelm us at this point. This is a strategy. I firmly believe that. But, Alan, you know, the ultra elite, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the English royalty, and the royalty of the Netherlands, the Vatican Black Jesuit sect, they've been promised by their god, whom they call Lucifer, that they're going to inherit the earth. And he has the name of Satan now, and he is the devil. But they do his bidding in order to get this deal of inheriting the whole earth eternally. And, of course, the destruction and or aberration of all of God's creation on this planet is the devil's bidding. So we see that. But they're so under the illusion of Satan, the master of illusion, that they don't realize that, as the Bible prophesizes, they will fall completely in their efforts and completely fail to accomplish their efforts and actually are going to burn eternally in hell.
Do you have a
they're
question or comment?
They're not going to destroy it all.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the question part of it, Alex, is, Alan, you know, to your knowledge, who is the elite Maximus these humans are above the usual most well-known villains that I've mentioned?
Well, you may be closer to a truth than you realize. There's definitely a power in this world that's making itself manifest through these people. And one of the symptoms of it is the fact that you can't get so many thousands of workers working towards this New World Order, this planned horror society, where they're all like clones of each other on every single topic. That in itself is not normal. It's unnatural. So there's definitely something working through them. It's up to the individuals who do the study to figure out what it is.
Well, people call it spirituality, but you know they've proven the sixth sense. They've proven that we're only seeing a thin band of the full spectrum, and the sixth sense, or Aborigines always know when their mother dies. They can be 3,000 miles away in a mine, and they come out, and every time, like say an Australian, say my mother just died, fly me out there, and they're always right. I mean, and I've experienced things like that, and it's true. The elite are tied together by almost like a spiritual broadcasting system. It's like they're downloading the same evil directory. What is that, Alan, in your opinion?
Well, you went into ancient writings, even before what we know as the Bible was written. They did talk about a war in the heavens and in the earth. This is pre-Hebrew. And it wasn't over. It would last for thousands and thousands, maybe millions of years, before the next clash would come along. And it was, again, written about in the Zoroastrian mysteries later on, to do with good and evil itself, always in battle with each other. And it's up to the individual, as I say, how they interpret this, but all you can really do, ultimately, is to interpret it according to your own personal life's experience.
Yeah, I can tell you how the elite, interpret it. They're kind of along the fifth element line.
Mm-hmm.
And they worship.
But they do understand both sides and how to manipulate both sides of it, too.
Well, that's the Illuminati mystery religion, is the balance that they believe in. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. Michael, Dan, and Scott, final call straight ahead with the always intriguing Alan Watt. I'm Alex Jones. Jam in. We're going to jam in a few final calls here at the end. Before I do that, I wanted to tell the listeners about another one of the sponsors that made this show possible. Great product, mysolarbackup.com, 877-327-0365. It's a really high-quality unit that's designed to provide 800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. You get the emergency power backup kit. The Power Source 1800 power plant, a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity, mysolarbackup.com, or you can always call them toll-free at 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. Also, again, the website, mysolarbackup.com, it's a great unit. We'll be back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Want to plug that in the rebroadcast with Russell Means, one of the biggest Native American leaders in the country, about the Palestine situation. Then we had Bob Chapman on, and of course, Alan Watt, restreaming until Sunday when we're live at Infowars.com and the free podcast that 120,000 people plus are subscribing to each day for free at Infowars.com. In closing, I want you to visit CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, and we'll throw that up on the PrisonPlanet.tv screen right now for you, and buy some of Alan Watt's books and videos, because he's barely scraping by and just does such important work, and so that's why we have him here. So be sure and support him there at the site by actually buying some of the books and videos. He's got it all up there for free too, but you need to purchase some of this and have hard copies and support him. Okay, let's jam in a few final calls here. Michael in Mass, quick question for Alan Watt.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Pretty good.
I wanted to bring up a topic for kind of deep, deep conversation, see if you can get deep and sophisticated on this one. The document called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
Colonel Alexander.
Absolutely. To me, that document, I mean, that's basically the Rosetta Stone for the New World Order plan. I mean,
No. They're cell towers. They're chemtrails. We're being hit with silent, soft-kill weapons.
Absolutely. It's all in there. You know, I'm sure, you know, you guys probably weren't prepared for like a real deep convo on this, but I was hoping that maybe in the future, you know, you guys could get together for like
Sir, we're totally prepared, but we got 2 minutes left.
All right. Well, Alan, what do you think?
Yeah, as Brzezinski said it in the Technotronic era, he mentioned this technology briefly, but it's been set up for a lot. It's old technology, but they're now setting up the equipment publicly in high concentration areas. and it will be used during the coming riots. Yeah.
I've been trying to...
Go ahead.
I've been trying to kind of talk to a lot of... I live in Massachusetts, and there's, you know, a huge Masonic community in this particular state, and I'm trying to explain to a lot of these people that, you know, they don't always tell you the truth, even if you are an initiate. And I try to explain, and I want to know if I'm accurate when I say this. Most of the symbology has two meanings, and they use the dual meanings for psychological profiling.
Or more. Let me explain how it works in a nutshell. We got to end the show, and I appreciate your call, and I'm sorry to the other callers. I promise next time's Alan on, you call and say you got cut off, you'll go to the head of the line, and we'll let Alan close the show out with his comment on this. It's triple, quadruple meaning. The porch masons, the masons, you can argue they were taken over, they're always bad. It's meant to control good men. And so later, as higher-level masons, they make them write out, what would you do in this situation? What would you do in that situation? And if you're a good person, they say, oh, good, you're one of us, but they shelve you. If you're evil, they raise you up and elevate you. Alan Watt, closing comments on that.
Well, they ask them at the top, do you want to be have the crown or do you want to be a servant? So when it takes the crown, is put off to the sidelines. Everything's a test, yeah.
Absolutely. Anything else, Alan?
Yes, the lower masons, as Pike said, are just the outer portico. They're no different than, they know no more than the general public, but they're useful idiots.
Alan Watt, great talking to you. We'll talk to you again in the near future. God bless.
And you too.
We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Rebroadcast starts one place. Infowars.com right now. We'll be back in 1 minute. Stay with us. Have a great weekend. Great job.